Yo, y'all remember that old Schoolhouse Rock joint, Three's the Magic Number? Or better yet, the De La Soul joint, you know, off 3 Feet High and Rising? It's something special about the number three. It's weird, but I don't know. When three comes together, magic things happen. In this case, you got three of the dopest cats holding it down on the radio front, coming together, bringing you guys Three's the Magic Number. It's like a worldwide internet thing going down. Every last Monday of the month, 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. That's right. I had to look it up on Yahoo.com to see what GMT stands for. That's GMT, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It goes down at 4 p.m. So get your clocks and all that good stuff right. Synchronize it. Make sure you show up and listen. It's some progressive hip-hop music going down by three of the best in the business. Special shout-outs to my man, Menace, Mr. Montana, and special shout-out because he's a homegrown cat from MD like myself, Peter Rosenberg, a.k.a. DJ PMD, representing Low Budget Crew, representing Taking It Back to WPGC, representing Hot 97, representing WMUC. What? Holla at your boy, man. This is the longest drop y'all ever had in the history of the show, but damn it, you better not edit it. Peace.
Black Panther, and you listen to 333 is the magic number with Peter Rosenberg, Menace, and Mr. Montana every last Monday of the month at 9 p.m. on Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, RosenbergRadio.com, www.djblackpanther.com.
Peter Rosenberg, Montana, and Menace, this is TQ. Y'all doing it big, global things on Conspiracy and Hot 97.
What's up, y'all? This is Braille Brizzy, live and direct with Conspiracy Worldwide Radio. I want to remind y'all, three is still the magic number. Rosenberg, Menace, Montana. You kidding me? Trifecta. It's going down last Monday every single month.
Hey, yo, this is Ross C-Line, and you're listening to Three's the Magic Number Show on Conspiracy Worldwide on Hot 97. Peter Rosenberg, Montana, and Menace are doing it global. You heard?
We're back. Ooh. Three's the magic number. Peter Rosenberg, Menace, Montana. How you doing, guys? How you doing?
Yo, what is the deal, guy? Popping in the UK.
No, it's been a crazy month. I mean, it's been 4 weeks, believe it or not, since we did the last show. A lot's been happening. What about yourself, Peter? What have you been up to in the past 4 weeks?
Man, I can't believe the time has flown by that fast, man. Summer is over in New York City. It is starting to get a little bit of that legit fall cold. Grinded on this morning show on Hot 97. Went to the Hip Hop Honors this week. We'll talk about that. But, you know, everything is everything, man. Everything's good.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to talking about that tonight. Now, of course, we've got to guest on the show, the legendary DMC from Run DMC, is going to be with us on the show. We're also going to be talking to Aftermath Records' Bishop Lamont. He's one of the few artists left on Aftermath Records now. He's going to be with us revealing all about the situation, the Dr. Dre album, his own album, all the situation with Busta Rhymes and how people had to move on. He's going to be breaking it all down tonight. What about yourself, Menace? How's your month been?
You know, man, same old, just relentlessly grinding about as we do. We just the show Friday, big show Friday with Noriega.
Yeah, yeah.
Great interview.
Yeah, man, Noriega, who else passed through? Planet
just
Asia.
Just grinding around, man, you know.
Yeah, man, crazy. Crazy interview on Friday. Friday Night Live, every single Friday, 5 p.m. EST, conspiracyuk.com. Right, we're about to break things down. Now, of course, the last time we spoke, Peter, it was all about the elections. It was about the run-up to the brand new political movements out there in the US. I mean, what's the situation like? We get bits and bobs over here in the UK, but we don't really get the full lowdown. What is the mood and the climate and the situation with the politics out there at the moment?
Oh, I mean, it's been a crazy time. Over the last few weeks, there's been an incredible Obama swing. Obama in most polls is up, you know, 7 to 9 points right now. Of course, people know at this point that John McCain picked a completely inexperienced vice presidential candidate, and it seems like over the last few weeks that started to bite him in the ass. So, you know, heading now today is less than 1 month till Election Day. It's, you know, 29 days, and Obama has himself a nice 8-9 point lead. So it'll be very interesting to see how things play out, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it will be. It'll be more than interesting. I mean, it's going to shape the future of not just America, but of course the whole world, indirectly and directly. So that's what it's all about. Okay, 3's the magic number. Let's get into it. Brand new exclusives tonight on the show. Probably going to be clocking in at over 2 hours. It's Peter Rosenberg, Menace Montana. Let's start things.
Yeah. My flow got the death speed of meanest. Pulsating beams on the gap leave you swingless. Built right in, you don't hold iron, you lying. But my license to carry stays otherwise. Don't let the clean record fool you if they ever found out the dirt I've done. They throw me under the jail and build another jail on top. But instead I'm on your block, twin airbrush glocks flaming all your block. Me and my ace, we done took your place. Blow the cush in your face while you state your case. Disrespectful, know why? We don't give a fuck. We a little out of pocket, but I dare you to press your luck. You better duck quick, cut the sound of the 4-5 busting and you running, they got me lovesick. You dumb shit, learn the science of the math, or I let my bitch check you for an hour and a half.
The nigga said steady, be free, let Kusi out the gate. We need the hilltop hustlers back, the parkside killers. Club fever, the rap, we spit, bust your speaker. I'm with the guards and generals throwing up ether. You in the land of the poets, where every man is a motive. A bulldoze in the game, not sure if you notice that Q demanded is pure focus. Raw talent, we balance the beams evenly and face the challenge. We own up to the name, we spit rap spacely. Out of this world, going wherever rap takes me. And even if planetary ain't the best breathing, I leave them at a loss for words and they chest wheezing. You and your men beefing? Let me get on the horn and see how these Voltron niggas that transform. We come so deep, man, they lower the casket. Bury us alive, we look up at the street cracking.
Yeah, the guitar's crying.
Yeah,
got the friend going right now.
These niggas can't be serious, Death.
What you know about it? Led Zeppelin style, nigga.
We still guards of rap, we still generals. Serial kill the trap, we pure criminals. Disrespect straight up, fuck subliminals. Disconnect your neck, you're so pitiful.
Yo, with no S in the building, you need to listen up. This ain't 94, when will you give it up? I ain't got a freestyle, I ain't got a right graph. I'm allowed to like cash, I'm about the right math.
What?
Hip-hop is over, no roots, no culture. Every man fend for self, no troops, no soldiers. Yo, Planet and Death, these niggas straight violating. I annihilate them, spit a line from the mind of Satan. Eyes are racing, scheming on the next move. Eating on the best food, gleaming with the fresh juice. Stress you, never the best who ever. Pick up a mic, spit precise, your crew severed. You got few skills,
women like you ill, sounding like Drew Hill. Get thrown in the school, kill QD, killer, Del P-H-I-A. 2-1 pound, we hold it down, we not forget.
It's the guys and generals, man, we back in the building. We feeling the airwaves with that shit that you're feeling. Y'all try to think, I just write in a rap, but I hear the track and smash it. Yeah, it's time for some action. Y'all simulated games, y'all target practice. I sit on the globe, niggas ain't on my atlas. God forgive me, Lord have mercy to any motherfucker trying to hurt me. Any label trying to jerk me, I rap on my terms. Y'all chill on seed level, I'm deeper than earthworms. I'm baiting, saying super game of chess. Ain't no debating until I lay to rest. Yes, I remain the best. Forget talk to talk, I scream and shout. The dream is about getting that green in large amounts and calling you out. Yo, I headed up the hill with the lion and the guns that you kicking in my ear, friend.
We still guards of rap, we still generals. Serial kill the trap, we kill criminals. Disrespect straight up, fuck subliminals. Disconnect your neck, you're so pitiful.
Get in contact with us. Leave the comments, let us know how things are happening with you. Three's the magic number. Peter Rosenberg and his two Viking prisoners. Tie goes down. Conspiracy, Rosenberg Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Ron Jeremy, and you're listening to Conspiracy Radio. Excellent choice. I'm listening, too.
We're the motherfuckers. Summer, don't, bitch. And rock, you motherfuckers. You don't know like I know. Act like you know like I know. You motherfuckers. The motherfucking Mag Force gang. Boot camp worldwide all over this summer. Don't, bitch. Let's get it, niggas. Let's go.
Son, let these niggas know the rule is back, nigga.
Stop lying.
We're goons and lots of eye and the pop shots flying. Anybody trying, dying, violent, rocket solid style, tyrant, light sirens, crying to hide. All for your highness. Me, I'm such a don, I'm gone rival. Ain't gotta lift a finger to send you to guard. Watch home. Have niggas at your dinner table with pins. Playing with your kids. And it's drinks and Andreas. Your crib is heinous.
It is.
It's music to my ears, Max slamming. Monster mentality. You niggas got meerkat manners. If you here for cash, stand up. You fear gats, man up. All my rapping niggas, yeah, I can't stand y'all. So subpar, you subleasing. Subway sandwich eating. Sucker type, sucking your teeth. I substitute them subliminal shots with some shit that sound like a subwoofer when they go ha ha. Tell them niggas got stacked dirt right. Tell them watch yourself, you can get hurt right. All they gotta do is say the word like
middle fingers in the air like
tell them niggas got stacked dirt right. Tell them watch yourself, you can get hurt right. Funny, we so violent, but your words right here. Like,
middle fingers in the air.
Yeah.
Like,
right now, I'm in the I don't give a fuck mood. Fuck you, courtesy of ravishing rough room. Any nigga I fought, owe me money. Said some wild shit about me, about to hold these dummies. Word to my mother, thug a thug, nigga, the fuck out. Smack takes out your face, this is what rough bout. Fuck is you bout, Paul? Better be out, Paul. Nigga thought about it, left like Southpaw. Pay attention to my sobriety. One drink and I'm thinking like menace to society.
Nigga,
spray that nigga. A-wax nigga. Feed away clean, out green, 8-track nigga. Listen, so-so flows and bozo hoes. I kill them all for free like a promo show. My flow is so cold, hold blow your nose. Soul in the hole, you ball and catch a hold of your soul.
Bah. Tell them niggas got stacked dirt right. Tell them watch yourself, you can get hurt right. All they gotta do is say the word like
middle fingers in the air like
tell them niggas that's that dirt right. But tell them watch yourself, you can get hurt right. It's funny we so violent but your words right.
Middle fingers in the air.
Yeah,
like
I'm the illest nigga that you heard thus far. Worldwide coverage like Russ Paul. Two-man wrecking machine, wreck your regime. Grab the step from my gene, you can wet up your team. Listen, I'm the best at it. Take a rest, faggot. In the 12-step program, you a meth addict. I'll be the new chief of the ville. With a gun out of blow, stew beef out your grill.
Nigga, I chase niggas down with the pound, clicking loud out. Chasing niggas going bow, chicken wow wow. Homo-ass niggas, Omar, minus the tough shit. Just a snitching and sucking, dick and the butt shit. I ain't the nigga
nigga, you owe it, don't beg him. It's ones and Count Rockula, I take it in blood. Nigga, I'm so dirty, huh? Rest in peace, the old dirty. Niggas can't cheat me, but your hoe can jerk me. Tell them niggas got stacked dirt right. Tell them watch yourself, you can get hurt right. All they gotta do is say the word like,
middle fingers in the air like,
tell them niggas got stacked dirt right. Tell them watch yourself, you can get hurt right. Be so violent, but your words right here, like, yeah.
Middle fingers in the air like.
Three's the magic number. Just warming things up inside the studio. Yeah, summer is definitely over out in the UK. We never had a summer. I think we mentioned that on the last show, but what little bit of sunshine we did have is definitely gone.
Never heard of it.
No, what is summer? We don't get it out here. Because us Viking prisoners just don't get that sort of thing. Now, before we move on, I think there's something we need to cover. It's happened a few days ago before this show goes out on air. And the very, very sad news of the passing of Johnny J. Of course, once linked Tupac producer, made a lot of the classic tracks and All Eyes on Me and the album before that. Now, apparently, what's the story, Menace, with this? Johnny J.
It's real sad, man. And I mean, I don't know what to believe. They're saying it's not true. They're saying, you know, he was murdered. But the story is allegedly he committed suicide Friday in Los Angeles County Jail. Although, you know, the official cause of his death has yet to be determined. I mean, it's definitely sad news. He was a legend in his own right, man.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, had a solo career way before Tupac. You know, and even some of the beats on All Eyes on Me, he put out with it on his solo album as well. So, but for anybody to take their own life, of course, it's sad news, but that's bad. Now, of course, as well as that kind of tragic extreme news, slightly less extreme is the beatdown of copyright again. Copyright seems to have a face for it. I don't know what's going on, but this is the third time now he's been publicly beat down?
The third time, man.
Damn, so that's happened
as
well.
That is an unbelievable record to have. And I remember he came on my show a few years ago after the first one, I guess. And, you know, I thought he was a good guy. I don't know why he ends up getting his ass beat so often.
No, I mean, he's been up on our show a couple of times, hasn't he, Menace? And both times he's been very amiable, you know, very nice, never been a problem at all. So there's something about him, there's something. I don't know what it is, but that's even his own fans. Apparently the story is it was his fans this time were a little bit angered by the length of his show, so they took it upon themselves to kick his head in. So there we go.
I heard he fucks everybody's wife.
Is that what it is? What's the other news as well, Peter? There's another slap, wasn't there, this week?
Supposedly Maino had to give Young Berg a good slap. Apparently, from what I heard, Berg rolled up on Maino and was like, hey, I heard you've been dissing me or something along those lines, and you know, Maino is not a game whatsoever. And, you know, just for Young Berg saying, I heard you've been talking about me in public, you got a nice slap from Maino across the face.
And was that captured? I mean, is that up on YouTube yet?
I've heard that is on YouTube. And but how did Young Berg not know that huge scar on Maino's face is not an old sports injury? I mean, it's not a game.
I mean, if you ask me, it's been long overdue anyway. I mean, with those comments he made earlier this year, you know, to black women, I think it's long overdue. He deserved it.
Yeah, Young Berg needed a quick smack up.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe it'll knock some sense into him. Anyway, more news on the way on this show, plus live guest Bishop Lamont's going to be with us very, very shortly. Three's the magic number.
Like what? Ayo, the human nigga.
like a sermon. I ain't trying to offend ya, but I'm something like Eminem and pun in the blender. So I'm half spec, half white, plus I rap, rap, right, plus I live the fast life, plus I'm just that nice. Now, you can have your own opinion. Try to throw dirt on my name like a meridian. Try to punk me out of my shit like I'm an Indian. My terms stay swinging them bats like I'm Dominican. Nah, I never did hard time, but I pick hard beats and I write hard rhymes. And I move hard white right before I got signed. So I treated every track like a race against time. I'm living for the rhyme, not living for the limelight. The longevity and lyricism is a long fight. Be ready for the all night shootouts and bar fights. A couple cats on site, you could bet I would make them hold ass. Said I'd never make it on the mic. 6 months later, I was in the unsigned hype. I told them, hold ass. They said I couldn't sell. 6 months later, I was in the double XL. I made them hold ass. Like when I beat my case, I told the punk police, fuck you to their face. I made them hold ass. I'm here to keep it alive. Like KRS said, I knew rap would never die. Yo, 88 to 99, man, what a crazy time. Blazing sharp, blazing rhymes. Now it's all the same design. Whack lyrics, catchy hook. Posing with a sketchy look. Rappers threw away their tins. Now they want the sexy look. Damn. Well, if that's the case, B, I guess I'm Kanye, past that for safety. I know my bitch, baby mama, trying to erase me. I'm on TV every day, so you still gotta face me, mama. Hold that. Now back to my beats. Ain't another rapper in the world rapping like T. Still these funny-ass promoters think I'm rapping for free. Well, I ain't rapping at your show if you ain't passing me G's, my nigga. Hold that. Still, I do it for the love, love, hip-hop, love ripping mics and love guns. Never run, never hold my tongue and hold back. Shoot the ones where anybody can tell them to hold that, nigga. Hold that. Said I'd never make it on the mic. 6 months later, I was in the unsigned hype. I told them, hold that. They said I couldn't sell. 6 months later, I was in the double XL. I made them hold that. Like when I beat my case, I told the punk police, fuck you to their face. I made them hold that. I'm here to keep it alive.
Of course, the sounds of terminology. Now, I mean, with copyright, I would have thought if anybody in his camp was going to get smacked around the head a lot, it'd be King Dom, because he's the one with the attitude, I've always found. He's an okay guy, but he's the guy who, out of his camp, has the attitude, I believe. I don't know if you had any relations with King Dom.
I haven't, but it's weird, man. The rap game is a funny business who ends up being the people who get smacked around. I mean, I've been so fortunate, knock on wood, to have not been smacked around yet. I can't imagine that copyright runs his mouth that much. I guess he does. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, it must be. Must be something to do with that. Anyway, we'll keep things moving. We're just lining things up inside the studio.
Hey, yo, why don't just tell it? I lived every moment so you can touch, taste, smell it, breathe and inhale it. No need to embellish, life's enough to deal. Without every other bar screaming, I'm keeping it real. Seven seal, been open, hellhounds on a hunt. Lost two good brothers, murdered in under a month. Mine's been stuck in a state of nostalgia. Your memories keep fading like my pop's body from fibromyalgia. Mom's glaucoma got her losing her vision. Pray it stays long enough for her to see some grandchildren. Most lose religion, holding on by a string. Wifey gave back the rings, cut no queen for the king. My students in the bing, pulling jokes and they bagged them. Judge threw the book at them, wouldn't even look at them. Keep putting in the patterns of destructive behavior. Might not bother me now, but it'll fuck with me later. Been scraping for paper, saving up for a rainy day. But the cost of living is way past my rate of pay. Thoughts in disarray, and no matter how much I keep drinking, it just won't take the pain away. Lady Day told us God bless the child, and I know we born to die, so I'm going out in style. Walk a mile in my shoes for you judging a glance. Hold the world upon your shoulders without breaking your stance. I'm an imperfect man, but the songs are stronger. So when I die, let me die and let the birds live longer. When I die.
Try to be the ace, but the king's
keep
back.
Keep it here without no doubt.
You can say I'm the boss, so get lost.
The king's back,
and I ain't been crammed.
All the wheels are still holding it down.
When the grams
try to be the ace, but the king's back.
Come out of my throne, you can't rep it like me.
The invincible, untouchable.
The emperor, son, show respect when I rock it.
Yo.
He cuts, scratch, transforms with finesse. My dude Rev is the king of the decks. Do the knowledge reveal? Motherfuckers should acknowledge the skill. 4x44 can face and demolish your grill. Listen, I ain't a DJ, but I cut and scratch with a gym star razor. What's fucking with that? So hey, Mr. DJ, play that song. Watch how you speak, for I have to spray that bone. DJs break records and make them hits. Corny records get broke, we don't play them shits. Ah, use your CD to crush up the kush while you try to pay your DJ to give it the push. Nah, no payola ain't the way of a soldier. Work on your craft, your motherfucking flow is trash. Sean Pranks is the best of the best. With my man Revolution, the king of the decks.
I'm the kingpin when the wax spins.
The grand mixologist.
But the king is back.
Without no doubt,
you can say I'm the boss, so get lost.
The king is back. Hold the globe in my iron paw. One hand holds the fader.
You can call me the dumb.
Try to be the ace, but the king is back.
You can't rep it like me.
The invincible
emperor. Inventing a scratch sentence. Turning up the temperature.
Son, show respect when I'm rocking the two techs.
While I'm deep up in the cut up in the city, I'm bread from. You couldn't find a task if I left a trail of breadcrumbs. Red rum is rampant with these niggas trying to match me. So it's not a lot of places in the city you could catch me. So scratch me if you can while I cram to understand how rev hands move faster than the trains in Japan. Spies go deep to peak, attach monopoly. Stalking while I'm walking, gotta kick them off my property. CD to the wax is to the mini disc. I bogart the microphone like, yeah, nigga, give me this. Mic check 1313. When the revolution starts, where the fuck you gonna be? See me? I'ma be by the ball poster, looking at your motherfuckers through my glass like goldfish. You got the best from the west, catastrophe of revolution, the kings of the deck.
Tell the people what you're the king of. The king of.
Shout going out to everybody locked on, everybody listening live, and of course all the people who podcast and download the show every single month. Straight out of that one, DJ Revolution. The best DJ in the world. Who is the best DJ in the world, Peter, in your opinion? The best scratch DJ in the world. 2008.
The best DJ in the world?
Yeah.
All time or right now, currently the best DJ in the world?
Right now, currently.
Well, that's sort of one of the same, because I have no idea about who's a good DJ right now. Is that bad? I'm sorry to put my ignorance on blast, but I don't know who I would say. I don't get to go out and watch enough great DJs perform to really make a case. You know, that's why, you know, for me, like, you know, someone like Jazzy Jeff is like my favorite DJ every year. Rev's amazing. Rev's a phenomenal DJ. But I don't know, I pretty much always say Jazzy Jeff when I'm asked, because he's the one dude who I've gotten to see a few times, and every time I see or hear is absolutely insane. And then to be honest, there are a lot of like unknown, you know, not that known, random, like, radio cats in the States who I absolutely love and are amazing DJs. What about you guys?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, DJs at the moment, it's kind of like the whole DJ thing has changed. We're just talking about this with Revolution and loads of different people on the show, weren't we? Green Lantern and that. I don't know, man. I mean, I've got to confess. I mean, we sit here and we're just clicking. We're just clicking MP3s. That's it. And what about yourself, Peter? I mean, Do you get down on the decks on your breakfast show on Hot 97? I mean, do you cut things up? I mean, is it all about that or what?
No, on my morning show, we do not mix. On my Sunday night show on Real Late, which is also available at rosenbergradio.com, on Real Late, I mix the whole show. But no, I don't. In the mornings, we just play music. You know, I mean, there's still a lot of people out there who are dope DJs who actually spin records. You know, and there's an upside to how readily available music is to just being able to play it. And, you know, there's a downside to, you know, there being less DJs who are actually, you know, spinning records. But the fact of the matter is, with a show like this, if you're playing great tunes, you know, you may miss out on a little bit that DJing brings to the table. But as long as the selectors choosing the right tunes, it doesn't really affect me too much.
That's right, yeah. Because things are so readily available now, aren't they? You know, MP3s, you know, as a DJ, you operate through your email, your inbox a lot, and getting the MP3s from the labels and from the artists themselves. You know, you got to wait a long time to get the vinyl. So I suppose if you want to stay current and promote even like the underground cats who don't have the vinyl pressed up, then I suppose this is the way we have to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't spun a record. You know, I've been mixing off Serato. I haven't actually played a new record on my show since I started at Hot 97. I've never played a real record. I played, you know, the stuff that gets sent to me. I mean, all the exclusives I sent you guys, everything I sent you guys today is stuff that I got straight from artists. You know, like, that's the only way to really, you know, do things right now.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, you were saying you went this week, or last week I should say, to the Hip Hop Honors. What went down there, man? Talk about it.
Well, it was Thursday night at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York, and I only stayed for about an hour and change because I wanted to watch the debate, the vice presidential debate. It was stressing me out. But I really wanted to see De La. That was my main reason for going. I mean, they were honoring this year. They honored Cypress Hill, Too Short, De La, Slick Rick, and I'm forgetting one. De La, Too Short, Cypress Hill, Slick Rick, and someone else, and Naughty by Nature.
Right.
I was really there to see De La. The show opened with Cypress Hill, and you know, when this, I guess our show airs almost the exact same time as the honors will air. It airs Monday night at 10 o'clock, and Cypress Hill was honored by Fat Joe. He came out. The nice thing about Fat Joe is Joe came out wearing like a old school flannel shirt and like a Dodgers hat, which was dope. And Fat Joe came out and did Funky Feel One. Jim Jones did Ain't Going Out Like That.
How did that go down?
That was dope, man. It was dope. You know, Fat Joe was the best one. I mean, he really knew the material, you know. Jim did a good job, and it was cool to see him doing something like that, but I think Fat Joe stole it. And then De La was honored by a lot of people. De La was honored by Q-Tip, Estelle, EPMD, Public Enemy, Mos Def. Is that it? A lot of people honored De La. And then De La, of course, came out and rocked the house and killed it, because every time they perform, they kill it.
Yeah, I heard.
So, yeah, that was it. So I only saw the first couple, man, but I'm guessing the rest was pretty dope. You know, there are a lot of lame things about the hip-hop honors, mostly, like, there are a lot of people there who don't seem to appreciate or know what the F is going on. But overall, the show itself was pretty dope, you know, and I was just in the regular VIP area hanging out with Pete Rock and Brand Nubian, and there were a lot of people come through to those events, man.
Dope. This is a little off topic, but I mean, how do you feel about the significance, you know what I mean, about the Hall of Fame Foundation considering the induction of Run DMC into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
You know, it's a pretty cool thing. I mean, you know, and on some level, I don't really care about it that much, because, you know, I don't think hip-hop needs to be legitimized by anything.
No.
But at the same time, it's cool, you know, and you know, it's long overdue that someone, hip-hop, you know, is represented. And, you know, who better than Run DMC? I mean, you can't really think of someone much more appropriate. I mean, I guess you could make a case for Public Enemy or NWA, but Run DMC is a phenomenal group to represent, and hopefully there'll be a lot more because, you know, over the last 20 years, rock and roll as we know it has so mostly become hip-hop in terms of the personalities and people that are connecting with the youth. There's so many rap groups. There's so many more rap groups than rock groups over the last 20 years that have really been rock and roll in that sense. So, you know, I hope that more get shown their due over time.
I keep wondering, man, when are they going to do a hall of fame for hip hop? When are we going to get our hall of fame?
You know that, you know, the hip hop honors is a good start, you know? I mean, hopefully it won't be something like VH1 that runs it, but I mean, a hip hop hall of fame would be pretty sweet, man. The thing is, you just need the right people to put it together, you know, the right people who are in a position to do it. And oftentimes the people who are in a position to do something like that aren't the kind of people that you would want to be controlling the Hip Hop Hall of Fame.
No. Now, you mentioned there's something really I've got to say. I've got to get it off my chest, and it probably won't go down too well, but you mentioned Jim Jones a little bit earlier. Now, my question is, now, I know we're out in the UK, I know we're Viking prisoners, but how can a rapper, if you want to call him that, such as Jim Jones, be seen as a credible MC, a credible rapper? How does that work?
Well, I don't think that, you know, in the case of Jim being on the Hip Hop Honors, it's so much about him being like a credible MC as it is about him being a credible hip hop persona. You know what I mean? I do think that Jim has come a long way as an MC from where he was at the beginning to where he is now. And I do think that he has a place. You know, like, there's a thing, the thing about underground hip hop is you end up being a lot of times removed from the way people in the streets feel about music. And we end up focusing so much on what someone's like technical skills are that we lose a little bit of thought about what it means to just have a certain persona that people relate to and identify with. And for whatever reason, Jim Jones in Harlem, you know, is just a reality. Like, you know, Jim Jones has become a voice that you expect to hear in New York, and his persona is like so a Harlem persona that he has a viable role in the game. And the thing that I like about Jim is he has a lot of respect for the actual hip hop game. And I think that was evidenced by him. You know, I think that he, in terms of his skill, you know, going up in a situation like performing at the Hip Hop Honors Live is a lot of pressure. And, you know, because he hasn't been, you know, in the forefront of rapping for that long. So for him to go up and do that, you know, to me, I take that as showing respect for Cypress Hill and for the game, and I appreciate that. But I certainly understand why people on the outside might be like, I don't get it. I don't fully get what it is about Jim.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, I've never understood it. I mean, the only thing I really like about him is his mixtape covers. And if that's what you call a persona, then I suppose that's it. That, you know, he has got a role, but I just can't see it. And this is I've not got a backpack on at the moment, kind of saying, oh, that guy's what a guy, but I just can't see it. There's some mainstream MCs, I see how and where they fit in. I might not like the music, but I see where they fit in. But somebody like
Jim
Jones.
You just gotta pay attention. Even the way Jim talks shit is great. Like, even just get a chance to listen to his interview. Like, if you get a chance, he was on our show like a week ago maybe, and it's on Rosenberg Radio. You can listen to it. I mean, just the way he talks about stuff, like, just his overall persona is, he's a character. Like, that dude's gonna end up being big in something. I don't know if he ends up finishing his career as a rapper, but, you know, Jim is, he's just got a crazy personality that may come across more not on record. You know, maybe it's hard to get on record. I, like, for me, there are things about the Jim Jones records that I like. You know, my favorite Jim records, like the one Pete Rock did. I love the Pete Rock record. I love some of the old joints on the first, what was the name of the first Diplomats album? Diplomatic Immunity.
Right.
I love some of the shit on there. But, you know, it's sort of like a swag thing. I don't know. I can understand why someone wouldn't get it. I certainly can. But, I mean, and maybe I'm biased because he's looked out for me since I've gotten up here. So I just like him. But, but I can certainly see why coming, especially outside of New York, you'd be like, what is the deal with Jim Jones?
Yeah, I mean, you just sit back sometimes and you see artists who have this shine who get called hot, because that seems to be, you know, something that in New York has always been there, but that phrase hot, it can mean many different things. And I think what you're saying there with Jim Jones is that phrase hot means like it encapsulates everything about him. You know, the character, the on-screen presence, you know, the amount of releases, the type of releases. I suppose that's why he's hot, and it's not just about his writing skills or his delivery or his voice.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not always something you can qualify. And, you know, I'm sure people are going to say that I'm a bit like, oh, Rosenberg, you used to shit on Jim Jones and now you're friends with him, so blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm sure underground people will say that to me. And, you know, for me, I ended up just getting to a point in my life where I started looking at a little bit more at, like, why people in the streets like someone, you know, and because sometimes I miss it, to be honest. Like, I missed it with Jim at first. I miss it with other people where I go, I just don't get it. Mm. And then I watch the way other people respond to him, and you start to pick up on that there is sometimes qualities that it's hard for the underground hip-hop head to pick up on that is actually that are there. And maybe it's not even the same set of values that we have for deciding what we love, but it's certainly a set of values that a lot of people who like hip-hop appreciate.
Mm. What about yourself, Menace? I know you're a big Jim Jones fan. I know you've got his posters all over your bedroom, but do you agree with what Peter's saying there?
I mean, what interests me the most about Diplomats, you know, and the whole unit is how, you know, like Pete said, he has evolved as an MC and, you know, just as a personality. I mean, I remember seeing him in an Old Boy video from him, you know, coming to where he's at today. But, I mean, you got people like Joel Santana who are bosses themselves now, you know, leaving Diplomats and Cam. He's got his own group. I think he's got his own label now. Everybody seems to be doing their own thing and they're all their own bosses. And it's funny because Cam'ron, you know, amidst of all of this, Cam'ron's nowhere to be heard of or seen.
Yeah, that's true. Cam is not doing much. I mean, when it's all said and done, Jim and Juelz's names are now much hotter than Cam's.
Exactly. I mean, musically, I'm going to agree with Montana to a certain extent. They're not the best, but you know, there's some joints like the Pete Rock joints you mentioned.
Yeah, I wasn't knocking the musically. I was just asking, really, you know, how Jim Jones on his own. You know, has got the heat, if you want to call it that, that he's had. I mean, is it just press? Is it that he's got good PR? Is it cash? Has he got the money to promote himself? Well, I don't know. I just didn't understand why. I wasn't knocking Dipset, you know? I mean, the Heatmakers, to me, made Dipset. That's what put Dipset in the game, with the Heatmakers. Well, Peter, what are the Heatmakers doing now? Because I don't see much about the... I don't hear many of the beats knocking around.
Well, I think Heatmaker, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Heatmakers one dude? Like, I was under the impression Heatmakers was out of D.C. I thought it was one dude. Maybe it was a crew, though. I'm retarded. Who knows? From Howard University, actually.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't really know. They were, you know, those beats were like, I think it was something that they had to connect to Dipset, and Dipset came up on, and I don't know, but yeah, some of that shit was crazy.
Definitely, yeah, some classic beats there. Listen, anyway, we're going to be talking about new things, new material, etc., with Bishop Lamont. He'll be joining us very, very shortly. We're not going to hold back on that. We're going to be asking about when exactly is that Dr. Dre album about to drop, and hearing all about discussions, etc. We want to know what his relationship's like with Dre. Is he going to be leaving Aftermath? What's the deal going to be? He's going to be with us very, very shortly. It's 3's the magic number. If you're listening right now, get in contact.
It's for my Brooklyn crew. Put your hands up, show the world how we do. For Europe, Africa, the US too. Put your hands up, show the world what you do. South America, Asia, Canada crew. Put your hands up, show the world how you do. BLR, Uncle Howie, all my goons. Put your hands up.
This is for my militant movers, young heat hustlers, rebels in America, the streets gon' love it. My throwback caps rockin' 40 belows, skull caps in the summer, copping 40s of gold. Gold fronts from the Chinatown off a canal, still they bootlegs run and get lost in the crowd. To my people overseas, reppin' real hip hop, come to shows, buy CDs, drink till they drop. To Big Daddy Kane, Rock M, G Rap fans, Army gear, Jordan wearing 20 sacks in hand. To the political prisoners who await release, to the cynical system, train your fake police. The streets are ready for war, we've been trained for years. When the time is right, we gon' put away them fears. It's the universal law, move below the sun. My world army's in a war, show them where you from.
This one here's for my Brooklyn crew. Put your hands up, show the world how we do. For Europe, Africa, the US too. Put your hands up, show the world what you do. South America, Asia, Canada crew. Put your hands up, show the world how you do. PLR, Uncle Howie, all my goons. Put your hands up.
Yo, where's Brooklyn at? Where's Brooklyn at? Shit, Brooklyn everywhere, we done took the map. To my West Coast comrades marching the streets, to my left folks beyond that mark of the beast, to South American money-making raw drug sellers who give back to the people who are poor in the favelas, to my peacekeeping soldiers who are out in the fall, protecting women from the rapes they've encountered thus far. It's for my positive and negative, balanced motherfuckers getting drunk and high and managed to so challenge one another. This is for my peoples all over the globe, all my folks who resist when we overexpose. We're not hoes for your clones, we pimp the system. Keep your fascist ideals, your empty vision. A social revolution, the people take charge. If we fuck it up, at least the mistakes is ours.
This one here's for my Brooklyn crew. Put your hands up, show the world how we do. For Europe, Africa, the US too. Put your hands up, show the world what you do. South America, Asia, Canada crew. Put your hands up, show the world how you do. PLR, Uncle Howie, all my goons. Put your hands up.
Shout going out to Dino, hold it down Claire, Jess at Spectre, hold it down Mr. B Locked On, hold it down Skinny Niner, the question is where are you? Three's the magic number.
No doubt, it's crazy new shit, you know, blue sky, black devil.
Be the arm, leg, a arm, head, I'm divine. And crush the whole galaxy with only one rhyme. Probably stick four niggas up with 1-9. Give me the loop, but you can stay with the shine. Fake niggas non-violent like Martin and Gandhi. Hating niggas thirsty like the Mojave. I hate it when a nigga make light of my hobby. And get stripped naked in the Crookville lobby. You ain't a shooter like Wahlberg. Probably get the party like DiCaprio. Hit with the shrapnel. From live grenades, you march in the gay parades. Stop the charades, this is real shit here. Black stand Jean Grey, bout to make shit clear. Check the rap sheet, I've been doing this for years. Get kicked in your ass, get the fuck out of here. Yo, that's my book, now stay the fuck out of there.
I know y'all enjoy getting the curse at first. Listen to change your positions by the start of verse 3 given. Screw till it hurts, but remove your distaste. Before I prove your waist jerks the other way from face first. Pray till God stops answering, but you may not get off your knees till he himself puts a hand on them. I'm penning anthems this year, get up and stand for them. Up your grands and pennies, I got plans for them. Do a handstand on your bandstand, right in your show, man. Kick a speaker left stage in the front row. Run slow, even in gun smoke. My lungs took enough shit to make a fireman think he gon' choke. Done woke yet, I shine like the sun but don't set. So bright, still not in my prime yet. I'll cut off your privates, get blood on your eyelids. Red splash so high, then it rains on you violent. Try get tested, get divided with pliers. I'm restless and got you on a death with checklist like Uma Thurman, I'll bruise and hurt them. In searching crew here, jerk, red dot, murder them. I can't stop serving them. I am not certain that your real clear gene is the shit that you're learning them. Get your balls up like Callie Dunn said. I got mine just over your head.
Okay, Bishop Lamont's ready. And we are too. About to connect to him straight after this one. Of course, the sound. Gene Gray, Black as Stan, produced by Blue Sky Black Death. Shout going out to Doug Stanhope. All right, we're about to connect with Bishop Lamont. First guest of Three's the Magic Number, episode 2. Bishop Lamont, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, bro?
Man, I'm doing excellent, man. Waking up out of a coma.
yeah. Sunday, long weekend and all that. Now, listen, since the last time we spoke, you were out in London, I think. Last time we spoke, we called a London studio and spoke to you many, many months ago. Now, of course, since then, there's been a lot of releases. A lot of mixtapes have come out since then. There's been a lot of buzz. There was some controversy as well we heard about a certain mixtape. What was that all about?
What controversy?
It was something about a tape came out and people, either you or your people, weren't happy with it or something, and then it got retracted. I just seem to remember there was some type of story surrounding one of the tapes that came out.
Wait a minute. Forgive me, my brain is slow, man. You talking about The Confessional?
I believe so. Yeah. DJ Strong.
About DJ Thong. Yeah. DJ Thong. Yeah, you talking about DJ Thong, not DJ That's Strong. His name is DJ Thong. Yeah, he was a little trick, and he wanted to try and like hate on my mixtape and leak it, you know, with a bootleg version to ruin it, just out of spite. And we had to go visit him at his store, and his wife, you know, he told his wife to call the police. He was screaming and crying like a little girl. He thought we was gonna do something to him. All I did was come to speak to him really nicely and let him understand that, you know, you mess with people's lives and hard work. So, you know, it had to be answered with a personal, you know, a very up close and personal visit. And that's it. That's all to that. He's now found God. He's not in the music business anymore. And, you know, that's good for him. Shouts out to DJ Thong.
No, DJ Thong, yeah, big shout out to him. So it was dealt with then. It was dealt with effectively.
Yes, it was.
Excellent. All right, now when the real thing hit, it hit hard. It was a superb mixtape.
Thank you, man.
And a lot of our listeners as well. We played a lot of tracks from it. We were really behind that when it did finally the full version came out. Now, from that tape until we're talking now, I mean, you've had other tapes, etc. But of course, the big question from all our listeners, everybody at this side, and pretty much everybody around the world, really, when is it going to drop? When's the full
length
rounded album
going to drop?
Yeah, when is it
going? Hey, that's my question too. You know, we were supposed to have November, and then you know, we dropped the single Grow Up, and then it was a whole big mess with Interscope about retracting the single because they felt like it was going to be a distraction for Detox. So here I am, ready to start getting the album done, mastering, mixing, and then, you know, corporate takes over the machine and says, no, we're not doing it anymore. Your single's a distraction to Detox, and you need to wait.
Okay.
So now, again, the schedule's been rearranged, and I have to come out after Detox.
Okay. So I remember when we spoke to you last, you were saying, like, no, Detox will come first, and then I'll be coming. But it was kind of like it was a decision between you and Dre and between the whole camp and everything. But now you're saying that it's effectively they've told you on paper, so to speak, no. I said, you know, after Detox, this single will come out. You will come out after that. That is the rule now. And obviously, you can't be happy with that. You're ready.
No, honestly, because I don't want to keep the fans waiting and anticipating something that then becomes just, you know, smoke and mirrors. It becomes, you know, a make-believe. And my thing is to deliver. That's always why I've done what I've done. I've always made sure I put street albums out to keep feeding the people and still, you know, progressing the movement and always meet my deadlines. And if I said something, I stand by it. But when you deal with a corporate machine as big as this one, here you come with the bull. So my thing is, our first agreement with me and Dre was, you know, I'm going to help him with Detox, and that's what I still do. But it's like, dog, when are we going to do it? Because people have been waiting 8-9 years for your album. People have now been waiting technically 3 years as of September 15th for my album. I'm not into making people wait for my first album. This is your last album. So we had our discussions, and then I spoke to him a couple of days ago. So we're going to, you know, iron everything out. But when it comes to these businesses, all they care about is their biggest acts first, because they got to make that money. So their thing is, we got Eminem album, we got 50 Cent album, we got Dr. Dre album. Then we can break a new artist. That's how they feel. So that's kind of like the catch 22 in a dream situation, where you have great pluses, you're going to have some great negatives that you have to be able to endure. And understand from the business side, it ain't about artistic ability. They want money, so they can give a damn about a Bishop Lamont. They know what Dr. Dre can sell. They know what 50 Cent is sold. They know what Eminem can sell, and that's all they're concerned with. And so, that's basically it.
Yeah. So what do you do now?
Nothing, man. Keep rocking. Keep putting out music. Keep working on Detox. Now I've got even more records for the Reformation. I think that's the only plus side. Like, the music keeps getting iller. I get more crazy features. I get more crazy production. You know what I mean? So it's not really a negative when I got fans like I got, and I got, you know, creativity like I got in the back end, you know, of Dre being able to go, my bad, here's some more money, and get in the studio. So, you know, it's really no stress on that side.
No,
it's just I want to deliver for the people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like you called me from way over there. People want the music, man, and that's really what's most important to me. Nothing else really enters my mind. It's not about the money. It's about the music, and it's about delivering the music to the people, man. It stimulates, and that's all. That's what moves me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when I asked you there about, you know, what do you do now, are you allowed, technically or legally or contractually, are you allowed to put out music before this single and before your album?
Oh, yeah, always. They're not going to get my way of that. Okay. They're just concerned with the debut album. You know, Grow Up came out and it blew up. And it was being pushed even before they put money behind it, and then they shut it down. You know what I mean? So it's like people are already ready for it, and we got tons of those. So I don't even bat an eye at that. It's just like, don't deny the people. Once we're moving something, once we're doing something, I don't want to look like a crooked politician. So it's nothing to me to keep making music, and that's what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? And set it up even bigger. We're going to be over in Denmark, geez, next week, and then we'll be in London. We'll be in Paris. We're doing a Count Short jump off and doing some shows. Me, Black Milk, Guilty Simpson. So I'm gonna be back over there with y'all. So regardless, we're making it happen, and I just want to make sure the people stay online and have faith in what we're doing. Because right now, Aftermath, you know, ain't been putting out no albums. That's what I always tell Drake. We haven't put any records out. People are starting to lose faith.
How does he react to that?
Oh, he don't want to hear it. We have the craziest relationship because I get to talk, you know, cheek and tongue. It's like, it's serious, you know what I'm saying? I'm always honest, and he knows that. And I'm only going to put the truth, and I'm in the streets, you know what I'm saying? While he's, you know, in the studios or can't really be in the streets like I'm in the streets or be everywhere that, you know, really the movement's at, I report to him, and I say, this is a feeling. They're looking at Detox like it's a unicorn. They're looking at Detox like it's Bigfoot. I know it's real. You know it's real. But we got to make them know it's real. You know what I'm saying? Our roster has been cut down to just me, M50, and Dre, and Marshall from Floyd Tree. You know what I mean? There's no, you know, Busta Rhymes had to move on. You know, he got his new situation. Stat Quo had to move on. He got a new situation. Tiffany, I mean, you name it, everybody's going except for us. So I'm like, yo, we really got to get out here and make things amazing. You know what I'm saying? Because our franchise is looking bad out there. You don't want to hear that.
No, exactly. I mean, that was a subject we were going to subtly deal with throughout the interview tonight, but you've done it there. You've been very honest, as you always are, as comes through in your music as well. And you've said, look, here's the situation as it is. We're losing people, and we're not making any output. And it is a sad situation, and you know that because you just outlined it there.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a fan as much as I am an artist that's signed to the label, so we're going to think the same. The people out there are going to think the same, I think, because for me, at the end of the day, sometimes I forget I'm an artist. I'm just doing what I love, and I'm around these guys, and I just have to be honest, because that's the only way anything can be real and substantial. When we make the music or any moves we make, we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to look at our environment. We have to look at the circumstances outside of that environment. Mm-hmm. We have to deliver music. 50 stage delivering music, you know what I'm saying? M is finally setting up to make some new music, but at the same time, he's got Shade 45. He's always got something going on. But as far as Dre's side, you don't hear, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't hear from Aftermath putting any artists out or putting out mixtapes unless it's me or it's 50. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or it was Stat. So it's like we have to stay current. Mm-hmm. We have to stay consistent. And that's the thing that's difficult for him when he's trying to be the owner of Aftermath and the producer and artist on Aftermath. So it's a lot of things people never understand or could imagine that go on behind the scenes that complicate albums coming out and the politics that complicate artists staying on Aftermath.
Mm. You mentioned the word politics there. I mean, without, obviously, just say what you're comfortable with, but without going into too much detail, what are some of these issues which are complicating things? What are some of the politics at the moment?
I mean, at the end of the day, people are just about money. And if you don't want to play that game, there's the door. You know what I mean? And people, for some reason, don't believe in music. They believe in ringtones. They don't believe in, you know, developing artists, not on Dre's behalf, but just how Interscope, how labels function, period. They're only concerned with ringtone artists. They're only concerned with the wackest production. They're not into really building movements, building real, you know, musicianship and people, artists that really have something to say and have a direction to take the people and the music at the same time. So everything is just so corny. You know, you got to do a song with Soulja Boy. You got to do a song. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, this is not what we're about. Aftermath is this. Or as far as hip-hop goes, this is what we're about. I'm fine with that over there, but we have to do what we do best. And if we don't have something to balance that, that's why it's in the disarray that's in it right now, because you got nothing but trash out. You got nothing to balance it, or at least people have a choice. Do I want junk food or do I want a home-cooked meal? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where it begins.
Yeah. You see, it's so strange. About 5 hours ago, we had an interview, a long interview with DMC. And a lot of the things that you're saying now were the things that he was talking about. He was just saying about the whole scene. And one thing he was saying about Run DMC is why people bought into Run DMC was not just because of the music, not just because of the image or anything. It was because they were unique. Now, Aftermath Records have, and I think still have, that brand, that tag, sorry, that you're unique. And the product from Aftermath for years, forever really, has been unique. And that's something that's got to come again. It's got to come soon as well, like you said.
And that's what we've been fighting for, because, you know, when you realize it's been about 8-9 years since Dre's last album, you see what I'm saying? Mm. Busta put out an album, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
The Big Bang?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? 50 put out Curtis. Mm. But other than that, we haven't put anything out. No new artists, no groundbreaking music, nothing. You know what I mean? So it's like we have to do our part to rebuild the momentum and make the excitement for people to want to not only buy music but make music. I mean, any new artists out there, I can't imagine them being inspired, because I'm not inspired 9 times out of 10. I got to get with Cardi. I got to get with Slum Village. I got to get with Dreddy Beats out there. I got to get with all my underground cats or my you know, or Talib or whatever to get my energy. Because other than that, you turn on the radio, it's trash. Mm-hmm. You go into the music stores, what are you buying? Probably older CDs. Nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got Fuji's The Score again.
again.
Just to remember what fresh hip hop sounded like when people took chances. Yeah. So then when you come to these meetings to play music, there's another part of politics. Sure. You have people that sit in the room that don't have an ear for music and don't know what a real record is, but they're listening for a T-Pain hook or your stuff to be auto-tuned or for you to have a techno beat, and then that's going to be a hip hop record.
Mm. Yeah. So you.
But back in the day,
what
you say?
I was just going to mention there that it's a case of, you've fallen into this. And last time we spoke, I mean, we were saying, like, what's it like to be in the studio with, you know, all these cats like Dre, Warren G, and da da, and you were full of energy, and you still are. That's not gone away. But now you've fallen deeper into the business, haven't you? That's what I was going to mention, that you've fallen deeper into this business.
What I try to tell cats is, the more you get into the business and you get closer to the top and it's a lot of responsibility and a lot more stress that comes with it, because you see a lot of things that, as you know, virgin eyes and ears and at a different location as far as coming into a label or doing music, that you're not aware of and you're not privy to. And then when you get to that situation, those circumstances totally eclipse anything you thought before, and it's like, wow, these dudes at these labels, these heads, don't care about music. No wonder your favorite rappers sound like trash and your favorite rappers fall off, because there are sacrifices and games that are played that artists aren't usually ready for. The blessing of that is that I'm always been a kind of asshole guy, that I'm hard-headed and I believe in principle and I believe in what I believe in, and then I have Dre to back me, that I can kind of scoff at a lot of that and I can keep, you know, my integrity and do the kind of music I want. But I always have to fight the music side, creating it, a dream. Dealing with the machine, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, it's nothing but hall monitors and geeks, you know what I mean? Kids used to beat up in school for their lunch money, you know, they had no friends that are basically running the music business.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine that that image right now, with you stealing their dinner money every time you go and see them. No, it is very sad, and I think that's a word that my co-host, who I've got with me, Menace, at the moment, he was just mentioning now. I'll just pass over to Menace. I know he's got a lot of questions for you. Menace.
What's going on?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Oh, excellent. Just waking up. Forgive me. I had such a long night last night, man.
Too much vodka. Good stuff. In a lot of your music, man, you know, it's evident that you aspire to encourage thought and rebellion, but to what extent has growing up in Inglewood translated thought and rebellion to Bishop Lamont as an artist?
I mean, Inglewood, Carson, Compton, I mean, it's the same thing. You learn fuck the police. You learn that the environment that you live in, the amount of money you don't have and the amount of money that you do have, you know that you got to have better. The schools that you go to, the condition of the textbooks, the way the teachers feel about you, and the way other people feel about you, ducking and dodging bullets, that there's got to be a better life. And I mean, that just, you know, it fuses with the music. It's about understanding, you know, how you're living and how you can make your living better. It's understanding that you don't have to deal with these kind of situations. You can progress. You can get higher. I mean, that's what it did for me. And I still love the streets. I still love those kind of environments, but I understand the negative side, but I also see the positive side that can come out of that kind of struggle. And I mean, in a nutshell, it just made me who I am. You know what I mean?
How would you How would you compare and distinguish your experiences recording in Cali and outside of Cali? I mean, how much of an impact does being at home and not being at home have on the output of your music and writing? Obviously, the last time we talked, you were in a studio in London working on some tracks.
I mean, that was the best thing. We was over at Metropolis. Shouts to all my players at Metropolis. Just being able to be out there, man, and just to see different things and meet different people, different mindsets, man, different cultures, just different energies, period, sparks the music. You know what I mean? That's why I can't wait to get back out there in another week. And I'm going to be recording out there again. But it just gives it energy, just like when we record Miami, you know what I'm saying? Or we was recording in the Caribbean. I mean, wherever we are, it's just a different energy. I'm used to being at home, so everything I see. You know what I mean? Even not trying to make music, I see that. But when I was out there, I was seeing things I never imagined. I was talking to people, you know, I wouldn't think I'd be talking to. So it gives the music a whole nother life, and it gives it a fuller life. It gives it a more worldly life, where you're not just talking to people in America or people in your city. You're talking to people in the world, and you can see that struggle's parallel. Everybody's struggle, everybody's wants, needs, everybody's likes and dislikes are similar, you know, to a certain extent. So you know how to speak to everybody, and that's what that gave me.
I mean, when somebody is, you know, accomplished as Dre says, that you're the only artist next to Eminem that makes him feel uncomfortable, you know, that's saying a lot. What can people expect lyrically on a Reformation?
You know what? I really don't know, because I'm just doing what works for me. So my thing is, you can be as super lyrical as you want, but if the music doesn't mean anything and it's not impactful, what does it matter? So my thing was more social issues, more storytelling, just more honesty, man, and let the beats bang and let it be what it is. But I really stopped trying to be super lyrical and doing all extra stuff that's not necessary when it's more reality that needs to be touched. You can say a lot more with a simpler form of verbal. You know, I learned that from listening to Life After Death. You know what I'm saying? Biggie went from being hella aggressive and lyrical to laid back and was more poignant with what he was spitting. You know what I mean? But it's going to be lots of madness. But I had to kind of figure out the balance of what I wanted to do. And that's been a blessing of having the extra time, just trying to make sure that, okay, the Reformation is about rebellion. The Reformation is about reforming, you know, rebuilding. So those stones, those building blocks of that kind of conversation, of that kind of approach have to be in the album. It just can't be, you know, club records or hit singles. You see what I'm saying? So it has to encompass more for it to really make sense for me. The people might still love it if I did it another way, but it's really got to be that. It's really got to be some jaw-dropping, you know, ill shit to make you think at the same time. You know, get out a whole bottle of vodka like I do and have a good time, but it's got to really kind of, like, deal with the human condition as a whole. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be an activist or something, but it's stuff that people need to hear. It's stuff that people want to hear, you know what I mean, with everything that's going on in the world now. So that's most important to me, you know.
You have to maintain a balance.
Yeah, you know what I mean, and we need that, you know what I mean. So I'm gonna do it like that. Like, I love Cardi's album, and Cardi pushed that out there on the album, as well as having jams. But he also has his messages in there, and that's the way we used to do it. So that needs to be done again. You know what I mean?
Exactly. There's been a lot of talk, you know, as of recent, in regards to the future and direction of Interscope, and it was even some speculation that was the Buster was asked to dumb down his lyrical content. You know, as an MC who's ultimately striving to maintain the balance in your artistry, how confident are you that, you know, Interscope will accept and embrace your creativity, you know, as an artist, and not just another rapper signed to their label?
You know, first with Buster, Buster didn't have to dumb down nothing. Buster just didn't want to sit there and keep putting out albums every 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, Buster's a consistent guy that's going to do what he does, you know, and that's my big brother.
Right.
So I always speak for him when he's not around to speak for himself. And that was the thing. You know, Bus puts out an album every other year, every other 2 years. And Bus is that kind of guy. I mean, he's a legend, and he's into the shows. He's into the people. So Bus had to look at it for himself and go, yo, I can't sit here every eon and put out an album. You know what I'm saying? I've already been here 20-something years, and he's blessed to still be here and be relevant. So that's why Bus had to go. It's like, yo, I got to make moves. And so, he back over there with Sylvia Rhone. He's doing his thing. He's going to rep hard for Universal. And the album is so ridiculous, I hate that he didn't get to put it out on Aftermath, because that would have been a great look for us. That would have been a first championship ring again in years. Because Bus returned to his woo-ha. Bus returns to his, there's only 5 years left, you know what I mean? He's back on that, plus some, like, some rambunctious, like, he's calling it the bomb again, back on my bullshit. Like his album is ridiculous, you know. I got to sit in the studio a lot with him and learn and just be able to energize with him and watch him create what he's got, and I wish that it could still be on Aftermath, because it's such a ridiculous album. But as far as myself, you know, as long as I got Dre back and me, I can get away with a lot of shit, and I intend to use that to my full advantage, to do whatever the fuck I want, as long as it's right. If you don't take risk, if you don't really step out and really be disrespectful, then I'm not doing my job. And I don't mean disrespectful just for the fuck of it, but if it's about rebellion, if it's about saying what's real, I'm going to say it.
Exactly. So, I mean, what do you think the Reformation would accomplish in the long term? I mean, would it bring back the West Coast to the forefront? Or do you, you know, and or will it bring, you know, real hip-hop to the public arena again?
That's that, all that and above, you know what I mean? Because it's not just about me being a West Coast artist. There's so much that has to be done on the West Coast alone, you know, just dealing with family business on the West Coast. It's a lot that has to be done with labels paying attention to us and wanting to sign us. Everybody doesn't have to be affiliated with Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, or Dr. Dre to get a record deal. Everybody doesn't know these guys. Everybody doesn't want to know these guys. Everybody doesn't feel these guys. It's the same way in high school. You're not friends with everybody, but that doesn't mean you can't attend the same high school. You know what I'm saying? You can't be on the same football team. You can't be in the same band just because you don't get along. So we have to be able to bring back awareness to A&Rs and to labels that just because you're not down with Dr. Dre doesn't mean you're not fresh. Everybody doesn't need a cosign, because one man doesn't stop a whole movement, because one man might not agree with another movement. So my goal with that is to put on as many people as I can and let them do their thing. It has to be more outlets for the West Coast. People can't wait for Snoop Dogg to want to give them a record deal. Snoop Dogg is not here to give other people record deals. He's getting his money. Ice Cube is not here to give other people record deals. He's getting his money. Warren G tries to get people record deals and do what he can do. DJ Quick, you know, Battle Cat, but people ain't do so much. So people have to be able to do for themselves, and that's what I've been trying to inspire and cultivate in these new artists and other artists that already see it the way I see it to make that happen. You know what I mean? So that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story that people don't even know about, because there's a division between young and old. You know what I'm saying? Legendary rappers and new rappers.
How would you say your level of responsibility as an MC in 2008 has shifted in comparison to your level, you know, of responsibility, say, back in 2004 before the major deal?
I've pretty much always been the same way. It's just that now the responsibilities are before me and people expect me to help, you know what I'm saying, usher in these kind of changes, usher in these kind of movements. So it's just that I've had to come in the office, basically. You know what I mean? I get all the phone calls, you know what I mean? I get approached all the time, and people want to put that on my back, you know what I mean? And I'm like, no, this is not something that's only going to be on my back. It's going to be on all of our backs. I'm just going to do my best to try and usher that in. You know what I mean? But it's the same way I've always thought, man. It's just about independence. It's about being able to be, you know, self-empowered, you know what I mean, for these artists, because I know what it is, because I know all these dudes. You know what I'm saying? Dre was one of the single good dudes that gave me a deal. You know what I'm saying? But he doesn't give out deals every day, as you see. And he doesn't keep a lot of artists on his label, as you see. So for the face of West Coast hip-hop to change and evolve, as it already has, but people don't know because there's not enough outlets, and then you have people in power that don't want to allow that to be seen, it's a serious uphill battle. There's so many dope people out here that ain't wearing khakis and chucks and running around in lolos. Everything's changed so much, but people don't know that. And people don't care to know that unless Dr. Dre endorses it or Snoop endorses it. So I have to use what power and juice I'm garnering to do that and to break that chain. You know what I mean?
What's the deal with your label, man? Has Dre been showing much support?
Well, see, the way the deal with the label works is I have to put out my album first before I can start signing people. That's the only thing that hinges, that kind of like puts that in a difficult place. Because then what labels are looking at when it comes to my label is how many records did Bishop Lamont sell. Bishop Lamont hasn't sold any records yet, but he's done phenomenal digital downloads, you know what I'm saying? 300,000 the first week on Caltroy, 720,000 on The Confessional. But we have to translate that into a real album debut before we want to put any money into any projects he might want to sign.
Right.
And that, again, comes down to the business side and the politics. There's so many dope cats I want to put out right now, but without the proper, you know, platform to put them on and the money to put behind it, I'll be wasting those dudes' time like I'm wasting my time, and I'm not going to tell anybody a dream. You know what I mean? I believe in people, and I want people to come out. So we have to do things in accordance with how things have to run their course, and that's why I fight so hard to make sure my album gets out, because it's not just about me. Like, I don't listen to my stuff rap all day. You know, I get tired of my stuff. I love listening to all these other cats. I'm just trying to be a catalyst and a gateway for the new insurgence of all these new rock stars that's coming, that's doing the new hip-hop, that's doing the new R&B, that's doing the new jazz, that's doing the new alternative. You know what I mean? There's so many different levels of dopeness out here that people don't get to see. And that's really my main, like, focus. It's easy for me to do what I do because I've done it all my life. Yeah. And God blesses me with the opportunities to reach out to anybody and get records. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying, I get the opportunity to do a record with Alicia Keys, to do a record with Dave Matthews, thrown in my lap. You know what I'm saying? Because I know God blesses it to be that amazing. But it's not easy, and I'm not even an artist that's out yet. But because of my position and the blessings I receive, I get to have conversations with artists on that level and have the opportunity to work with artists like that. So I'm not even worried about me. It's about people that are not privy to that kind of situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's it. And using the blessings that you've been given and trying to help other people as well.
That's
yeah.
how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be.
I think if everybody in the whole hip-hop industry was like you, I think we'd have a whole different musical genre. I really do. But as you've already pointed out, it's not. Yeah, I think so. because there's an honesty that just is very captivating about you, and it's the same in your music as well. But even artists that don't deal with the money, even not the non-business people, some artists aren't like that. They have a whole different attitude to everything. So, but that's what it is. And so we've got no date for the Dr. Dre album. We've got no date, of course, for your own album. But we are saying, look, there's been meetings, aftermath. Things are going to be moving. Things are definitely going to be moving next year.
There's going to be some more meetings, and I don't stop moving. And, you know, Independent Machine, we always will be, but we will deliver the album. You know, me and Dre talked for a good minute. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things going on with the passing of Dre, son. It's a lot of other stuff that you can't even imagine going on behind the scenes that makes things difficult to function, you know, as fluid as possible. Mm-hmm. But once all these kind of obstacles are overcome, and it's a lot of internal situations that have to be, you know, resituated, they have to be addressed, we're going to make it as lovely as we can make it. I mean, mm-hmm. Detox is just one of those things. It's a serious enigma to get complete. So that's the one thing that's biggest on everybody's mind and biggest on Interscope's mind.
Absolutely,
so
that's really
the thing that everything hinges upon. Sad to say, but everything hinges upon that. But at least we have, you know, to look forward to Eminem's new album and 50 December 9th. I know that for a fact.
All right, cool. So December 9th on those.
You know what I mean?
All right, listen, man, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Sorry for the slight problems at the beginning. We say thank you so much again. Hopefully we'll catch up in a few more months, and we'll be talking about...
No, we're going to catch up in another week. I'm going to be out there, dog. We out there doing shows. We in London.
That soon? Oh, that soon? I thought it was like in the next few months. Yeah. Oh, you're out here next week?
No, we out here next week.
All right, cool. And you're going to be down in London?
Yeah, we out there. What you
say? I say, where is that going to be? Is that going to be down in London?
That's going to be in London.
Yep.
We're going to Paris. We're going everywhere, man. I'm going to be drunk everywhere, so please come out, get drunk with me, and we can talk more about this in person.
Yeah, excellent. We'll try and reach, man. We'll definitely try and reach that. We'll get seeing where that's going to be at. Now, before we finish up then, I was wondering, just for all the people out in the UK, just to give them a little taste wetter for when you do come out here, and, of course, the new album, maybe you could get, like, a little live a cappella just over the phone, just a few bars.
Man, you know I ain't got no lines a cappella. I'm sitting here in my bed in my drawers. I don't want to paint that picture, but ain't no rhymes coming forth. I do need a shower.
That'll do. That was a rhyme in itself. Nearly rhymed.
Sick.
There are some artists out there making a living with those sort of rhymes
killed
at the
it.
Moment. Yeah, that killed Soldier Boy off.
You're kidding him out there, yo.
Damn. But anyway, it was a story wrap. But no, seriously. Anyway, look, we wish you all the best for next week. We'll see if we can try and reach down to London, perhaps meet up. And we thank you for your time. And we just will watch the news now, and we'll see what happens. And we'll see when this new Dre album's going to drop, because we know that yours is on the way after.
Yes, sir.
All right, excellent. All right, Bishop Lamont, thank you so much. God bless. Have a shower. And we'll... I've never said that to a guest before. Go and have your shower and everything.
Yeah.
Go and get wash that vodka from your mouth, and we'll speak very, very soon.
Much love, yeah.
All peace. Right, God bless. Peace. Pity the child.
Yeah. Ow. Ow. Hit this.
Pity the child.
Now why should I play around, lay it down like most of y'all lay around? I'd rather gather hollow heads and lay it down, but I'm a little too old to play around. You still banging Dr. Dre and Dog Pound. Snoopy still the hottest motherfucker out. Yes sir, we still around. Yes sir, we still world renowned. I call silence a silent sound. I'm under the radar, stealth silent sound. I'm here, my dude. I am born again. We saber-toothed tigers, y'all Cornish hens. Y'all cornball ballers, we presidents. With presidential acquired hidden residence. Yes, sir. We residents. And controllers of secret soldiers and regiments. Yes, sir. We ball out. Yes, sir. Till we fall out. We get high. We don't have to try. We don't have to look, and we don't have to buy. We don't have to make ends meet to get by. We don't have to try. I am that guy.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I am that guy. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I am that fly. I can't help it. And I can't stop. And I won't stop. And I don't stop. I'ma take the top and put them where the bottom drop. Then I'ma reverse it and make the bottom touch the top. See, this is what they all call the top spot. Then I'ma show the top where the bottom stop. I am everything, every that is anything. I can't sing a note, so I let the semi sing. Send them out on the mission, see what the semi bring. Back home to your selected and newly elected king. Now that's gangster, now that's gangster, now that's gangster, now that's gangster, now that's gangster. See, that's gangster, now that's gangster, now that's gangster, gangster, gangster. Gangsta, gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta, gangsta, gangsta, gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta, gangsta, gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta. Roller coaster, this whole movement's over, giving the West Coasters the cold shoulder. I am ready, yes, I am here. I am back, Jack, the spitter of the year. Let's get one thing here real crystal clear. We reappear, the hoax disappear, evaporate, dissipate, your folks disappear. And if you were smart, you wouldn't be here. Now that's what I call a double whammy. I don't need the white folks, I get ghetto Grammys. Yes sir,
yes, sir.
I get ghetto Grammys. Yes sir.
Yes sir.
My woman's eye candy, I can't help it. And I can't stop, and I won't stop. That's why I don't stop. I'm similar to Biggie, similar to Pac, similar to Snoop, similar to Doc. Similar because they all taught me something I firsthand, like cock and pop before a nigga talk. I'm airborne. You're grounded, like you hit your report card and your mama found it. Yes, sir, I found it. My third wind to go as far as God allows me. The sky's the limit, it's in my arm's reach. So I'ma reach as far as my arms reach. Gangsta, 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 gangsta. Gangsta, 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 gangsta.
Absolutely live and exclusive.
Gangsta, 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 gangsta.
Okay, confession time. That interview was recorded yesterday. Just to let you know and clear that one up. There are a few references in there you're probably a little bit confused about, like the day, etc. While that's how it happened. Really feeling this new mix down, Peter. I think you might still be on mute, Peter. I think you're still on mute.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Sorry.
I'm retarded. I'm retarded.
It's okay, man. I thought you were. I was saying that yes,
yeah,
sir.
No, no,
track.
I,
yeah.
I heard you. That joint's fire. It's It's Pete Rock and the Dog Pound. It's Pete Rock and Corrupt. From what I've gathered from Pete, Pete and the Dog Pound are doing a project. Period.
Right.
That record with the mixed version with the horn in the background and the bass was crazy.
It is, yeah. The mixdown, it's classic. I mean, not looking forward to that. That's news as well. Well, one isn't aware of that. I heard a little rumor about that. So, Dog Pound and Pete Rock. Is any more news on that? Is that going to be an album or EP or don't you know?
He said they're working on an album. You know, I'll say one thing. I'm not sure with Pete right now, like what's coming out, but I will say that guy is on his grind. I mean, Pete Rock may be hustling now more than he has in years and years. I mean, he's really trying to be out there right now, which is fucking phenomenal.
That's a great look for hip hop. Hip hop needs that, man. I was talking about Noah a couple of months back, and he was telling me about a project they had coming out together. Oh, Noah and Pete Rock.
Yeah, man. Oh, Noah's a talented cat too, man. But I'm just happy to see, like, you know, there's no reason, you know, Pete Rock is probably now in his mid to late 30s. There's no reason that you shouldn't be going after it like you can't still take over the game. Like, Pete Rock still has it in him to not just make, you know, underground joints that no one hears. He could be making joints that a lot of people hear. I heard rumors of him getting beats to 50 for the next 50 album. Or G-Unit album, so, you know, just keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah. That should be interesting.
So Pete Rock, Pete Rock back in the game. That's good, man. Real good news, that. Right, we'll talk more about that and more in a moment. Three's the magic number.
It ain't shit to nail a verse. I might be the best ever, but I'd rather you tell me first. I was trained for the title. My music speaks volumes. Hear me? My clothes reek of Henny. Loner, I don't speak to many. It's over. Time is up. Keep your pennies. Haters wanna eat my food, and you motherfuckers wonder why I keep my tool. Think about it. The hood is a firing range. Young kids high in the brain, admiring gangs, and decide to pick a side and ride on a nigga. Break down bud, put lie in the swisher. Blaze that kush, get high with your sister. When the pot's consumed, cop a room. Get a drunk, make love to a jaw. Guilty Simpson, nigga, your new brother-in-law.
Yeah, blow the horns on them, horns on them. Reign supreme and let it storm on them,
storm on them.
No survivors when we swarm on them,
swarm on them.
Lock and load and wage war on them,
war on them.
Blow the horns on them,
horns on them.
Blow the horns on them,
horns on them.
Blow the horns on them,
horns on them.
Yeah, we blow the horns on them, horns on them.
I'm so hot, I need a fan. And you're so not, you need a fan. Your beat so whack, you need a band. Nah, in fact, you need a hand to clap for you. Or an open hand slap would do.
Bitch.
I fuse you rap crews, you're no contest for the ruler. Cold as snow, but much cooler. Old man winner with a temper to match it. Below zero flows up into your jacket. Play hero and get burned like matchsticks. Spit that crack, bitch, so keep that whack shit. I'm in the league of my own. Bully on the block, you can breathe when I'm gone. Hoes gotta love it, they boyfriends don't dope. When I'm in town, she a no car, no show. Yo Simpson, you know the name. She won't be back home till I'm on the plane.
Yeah, blow the horns on them,
horns on them.
Reign supreme and let it storm on
them, storm on
them. No survivors when we swarm on
them, swarm on them.
Lock and load.
If this is your type of hip hop, check out RosenbergRadio.com.
Blow the horns on them,
and of course, conspiracyuk.com.
Yeah, we blow the horns on them,
horns on them.
Looking forward to tonight, connecting with DMC. You know he's going to be packed full of knowledge, as per usual.
Yeah.
Bob's Am 2, nigga.
Yeah.
It's a motherfucking holiday.
Yeah. Bob's Am 2. I landslide you to the lava below. How to dance, nigga, flow. Many bars, how far can you go? Only as far as the mind. Cannabis, a voice, 5'9".
You are now rocking to the sounds of my dog. Yeah. DJ Green Lamp.
Yeah. Bar exam 2.
Invasion.
I landslide you to the lava below. Kinda stance, nigga, flow. Many bars, how far can you go? Only as far as the mind. Cannabis, a voice, 5'9". Bar exam 2, spit a rhyme. A miniature version of me told me he wanted to MC. I told him, be careful who you be. He said, I'ma just be me. I said, yeah, I see. But you don't understand what I really mean. Look at the manifest list and got my name down. A bald head for a cold crown. How you like me now? I terrorize rap music. What manner of creature could do this? Cannabis, stupid, retarded, autistic artist. One click from fixed target. Staff sergeant, cannabis talking. I would not let off the gas. Traversing through Sanso's pass. The ripper spills whiskey from a flask.
Yeah, I told greens, blowing out smoke screens. Poke queens, leaving with soaked jeans. Yeah, the definition of a joke mean. I'm star status, like glowing lights throughout the far stratus. Fear, it's clear who repertoire that is. Pursue ice and fuck a shoe price. My cheese out through mice, I'm too nice. Cut through slice, I'm seeing you twice. The lead pacer, been making moves like speed racer. Indeed, trace a line and fucks with your mind like a weed lacer. Trying boast, ain't lying close to what I diagnose. I can fry roast any guy to their flying ghost. Peon, peons, peon, eons. To this neon, cleons. Close encounter of the three kinds. You may fall, I'm AWOL. My Wakitas and spray y'all. They put you in a hole like Robin Peter to PayPal. I could give a fuck. Got a flow to leave a river stuck. You hear deep in lines. Keep an eye near the liver tuck. Liver tuck, liver tuck.
Yeah, Osama McCain, you climbing this ring. A rhyming with Obama the king. End up on the bottom of things. Living inside of ominous springs, I'm in a dream. I spit the only kind of sickness that vomit. Yeah, Osama McCain, you climbing this ring. A rhyming with Obama the king. End up on the bottom of things. Living inside of ominous springs, I'm in a dream. I spit the only kind of sickness that vomiting brings. That mean I'm ill, sick, and plus I'm real, bitch. I should've played Hancock instead of Will Smith. Cause I'm drunk, the flyer. I'm a superhero, minus all the chump attire.
fire and I bleed hardly. Tell your idol it's time's up and he's Barbie. Cute A rhyme lined up like Steve Harvey. Stew from the pies to the brick, man. Niggas couldn't follow in my steps lest I died in some quicksand. So come and see a nigga burn a show and give me your hand before I give you the fist like a germaphobe. And you probably too scared to scuffle if you ain't hit a nigga until you buried your knuckles. I got a 100-round drum. I shoot the first 30 to kill everybody to trash your hooker. Category blast the butcher. Empty the clip just to make that 70 show like Ashton Kutcher. Nigga, you at war with sharks. The government team will leave you airless like Jordan Sparks or a motherless queen. We put it on y'all. Tape a nigga phone call. Sell it to the net for a phone card. And use it to phone y'all mamas. I throw you niggas a bone. And then I bury the drama in a boneyard. The flow's in prime. I got more plastic on me than all of you hefness hoes combined. My niggas got GTs and shit. Yeah, I know Mini Coopers. Why you niggas rolling around in the Mini Coopers? I'm the shit for real. Y'all niggas Mini Poopers. Drunk while I'm committing vodka and Mini Bloopers. Who could give a nigga the Snoop foot? Stretch him out on the floor like the Minute look. You shook. Nigga, I'm like the crew cook. I put a price on the whip and I'm like the Blue Book. With an appetite for destruction with the greed stigma. Explains my past and adds to my enigma. If it's digital or analog, bar exam 2 is the present. The distributor is Santa Claus.
Three's the magic number. Wherever you are right now, whatever time you're listening, get in contact with us. Hit us up on the comments, etc., etc. Obsessed with Bukkake, what's all that? A strange comment. Now, working where you work, Peter, I know working where we work, two different worlds, really, in terms of...
But didn't you go to the you didn't go to the bathroom here to bed?
I was saying, working where you work, Hot 97.
Hey, I'm sorry, guys. I was in the middle of a serious roommate discussion about toilet paper and me apparently clogging the toilet last night.
Oh, I won't butt in then. I'll let you finish off the argument.
No, it's quite all right. We'll deal with it afterwards. Okay, what were you saying, Montana?
Oh, I've forgotten now. I've just got this image of you blocking the toilet with toilet paper.
Listen, I've been accused of this many times. You know, on my end, I have some doubts, but obviously my roommate seems quite sure that I'm the culprit. So, you know, when you start getting labeled and stereotyping exists in this world where, as we know, for thousands of years, Jews have fought against stereotypes like clogging toilets, and then I'm subjected to it every day in my own apartment.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been one of the stereotypes which has kind of haunted the Jewish race, hasn't it, really? Yeah, you're quite right. History tells us so.
But you've hit the nail on the head.
But was it you?
I can't comment now. We'll work things out. We'll look at the details and we'll comment, you know, as soon as we have a clearer idea of what happened.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, remember what I was going to ask you about. Now, working where you work, Hot 97, working on our level, we've got to deal with a lot of freaks. We deal with what we call Skype freaks. I don't know if you get bugged night and day by people. Do you get this? People who are just constantly bugging you. We've got them on Skype now. We've got 7 messages from people. We've got people in China, people saying hi. We've got a message here. Hello, how hi you, says one Skype freak. Another one says 24/7 sex available at this address. So that sounds quite good. I'll pass you that in a moment.
I like that one.
We've got another one from somebody called Dum Idoa. It says, hi, I'm Denmark. So this person is Denmark. We've got all these comments coming in. I mean, do you deal with people on your level? I mean, do you deal with these kind of freaks?
Well, I try not to label them freaks.
Right.
Yeah, I hear from people, you know, who are... I generally hear from people who are just like fans of the show. So I don't hear from too many randoms. I mean, occasionally, yeah, you know, there are some people. I've had a bigger problem actually with being too friendly and giving out my phone number. And then you give it to the wrong like indie rap person, and they call you literally every single day. You know what I mean? Like, and that can be a little weird. Like, I don't know why you think I'd want to play your record if you bother me nonstop. But no, in general, I mean, in general, my communication with internet freaks is pretty chill. I haven't had any major situations pop off.
No, that's good. So you give your number out a lot, and yeah, I mean, we get those a lot as well at our station with people just saying, "When are you going to play it? When are you going to play it? Are you playing it now? Give me the time you're going to play it." And I'll tell people, "What time? What time is it now?" And when you do the show, they're there on the MSN Messenger, and they're there going, "What, are you going to play it now? Have you played it? When have you played it? When is it going to be played?" And in the end, you just go, and I hate to use this phrase, but we can, fuck off. And that's just it. It never gets played. It never gets played because of their, you know, the way people react. Some people just get obsessed.
I support you in saying that, Montana.
Good, good. What do you think about this little discussion about internet freaks, Menace?
Well, you know how it goes. I mean, every Friday we get the same list and a message in us. I think it's on the MSN, either MSN or AIM. Ask him what a bukkake is. Every Friday, the same guy.
Oh, the bukkake, all the time, obsessed with it. We just had that message in now whilst we've been doing the show.
There's nothing wrong with being obsessed with bukkake, but talking to other people about it, that's just inappropriate.
We don't know what it is, Pete.
We asked him that when he came on, Menace. You can't play that card again.
you know what it is, right?
No, yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, of course.
I would have been excited to have got to tell you that on the air.
Okay, there will be people who don't know what it is, so why not break down a scientific definition of the ancient art of bukkake?
It is an art. I'm glad that people in the UK appreciate what true art is. Bukkake comes from it's a Japanese word that means like throwing water on one's face or something like that.
Right.
Splashing water on one's face.
Right.
Okay. Is, I believe, what the actual definition of the Japanese word is.
So is that what a bukkake is then? Just splashing water onto somebody's face?
You know, I'm glad you asked, Tana. No, that's not exactly what it is in modern times.
So what is it then?
More often, people are referring to the act of one female sitting around while many men, usually more than a handful, ejaculate on her face. That would be the modern definition of the bukkake.
Right. And what sort of... I mean, what's in it for her?
What's in it for her? How could you even ask that?
No, I mean, but obviously it's a sexual act. There's got to be some sort of give and take here, surely. Surely she didn't just sit there and accept this.
Oh, what's in it for her? I mean, obviously you've never asked a woman if they want to have 20 different guys come on her face at the same time. I mean, Jesus. I mean, it pays for itself.
There's the catchphrase, bukkake, it pays for itself.
There it is.
We have a product, I think. But no, I mean, it is an ancient art. It is an ancient art, and it is something which I think if was bottled could be sold. It is so artistic. It shouldn't be dismissed. And I think if you take anything from this show tonight, it has to be that. Don't dismiss the bukkake as a childish prank or a childish way of... or just a pastime. It's more than that. It is an art form. This is 3's The Magic Number. DMC on the way. Maybe we'll ask him about it.
This isn't a gunfight. It's not about pride or ego. It's only about money.
Before you ask a question, here to answer. I'm GQ thick. You check. You just a pamphlet. My fam is the focus of them government cameras. So every time I write it down, I'm taking pen chances. I'm tighter than them hipsters. Jeans flow mean. I develop like a negative. Fuck it. You get the picture. Sprint. You can say I run these niggas. Bring the light to the dark. Yo, I sun these niggas. If it was up to them, there'll be walls at the border. Could give a fuck if the French quarter underwater. Could care less as long as they shit match the gear fresh. Acting like a broad caught up in how they pierce dress. The bottle you were swinging down your throat get broke. It's a weapon when a nigga get provoked. Get smoked like a rival gang member taking choke. Got his dope right here. Is there anything I fear? Nope. Faith is my strongest weapon. I get inspired, head straight to a recording session. Pour it out like your confession. You ain't using your discretion. Niggas are snitching like quarter session. Come back to the block with orders of protection. Don't get the wrong impression. You're guilty till you're proven innocent, but still can get sued for the wrongful death. And now your money gone, you stressing. I can't call it, yo, it's all a lesson. Why we go through hell when we belong in heaven?
My money, young money,
Lil Wayne.
Money, young money, cash money,
millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. Stop saying I'm a beast, beast, beast. I ain't slipping over minimum wage. I'm getting paid and got respect like the Chris. Eyes, level, his. Prodigies are catching the whiz. I'm being praised while I'm
one of the greatest British rappers out there at the moment, Dap C.
Hey, Nelly, yeah, yeah. Right, girl, that's me on the telly. And I guess that's why you with me in the telly. And your boyfriend's at home with the kid white jelly. Well, that's none of my business. The music is. They don't call you mine, so they can call you his. I'm too busy running the music biz. And I guess that's how I amuse the kids. I ain't writing this cause the Bible did. Biting that cause your gyro did. Dab spit flames like spiral did. And dab crack your back like the Cairo did.
My money, young money, cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. My money, young money, cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire.
I had more money than I could spend. I had it all.
So much as me, I'm a cheat. I keep two guns. So if it's going down, I know I'ma shoot one. And if it's really going down, I'ma shoot two. Then I'ma shoot everybody and I'ma shoot you. So get your money, get your shit and do you. Or I change your fucking face and give your bitch a new you. Yeah, you feel me coming like a new tooth. Nigga, you deader than a new suit. I'm getting red, I'm getting head up in a new coupe. Might be your bitch, might be your sis, it might be them too. In a crew, I'm on a mission to get Weezy in a proper position. And if they happen in a way, let the choppers to split them. Put a nigga so far away. Where his mama forget him, the cities who will run away. Where the lions will get him, high as a ribbon in the sky. Stevie Wonder eyes, I might hit him one time and leave it up to God. If we come back to get even with the odd, I'ma kill him this evening and leave him in the pine. See him in his shoes, put some bricks in his pocket. Gotta lose a nigga cause ain't no more Johnny Cochran. Never knew a nigga, let the alligators find him. I'm from Louisiana, got a slum for you down here. In front of the mansion, I'm relaxing in the lawn chair. Bad bitch telling the cops they can't go in there. My money, young money, cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. My money, young money, cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire. Yeah, voice 5 to 9, the boss in charge. Money longer than yours, homie, you off a yard. And when you see shorty, tell him I'm like E-40. I tell them hitters when to go, like a crossing guard. I cook the coke in the flow, then spit the extra cooker. I'm greasy, I pack the heat in like a pressure cooker. Your bitch on her knees, humming on these bag sacks. Dick so big, she got a backpack just to look up. I'm certainly the best nigga second to Big. How could you not hurting me? I bleed Pac Burgundy, I'm hot verbally. Compare me to whoever you want. It's obviously lopsided like a bot surgery. The G-Wave prick, the 6 pair of Pradas. Problems get straightened out like DJ Quick's hair. I got that white girl, but I ain't just holing. I'm talking Bigs, my nigga. I got that Brooke Hogan. I got the surgery hands. I got that blood on them. I got that party whenever. I got that club on her. That Saturday night special. I got that snub on her. I'm like 50. She do the drugs. I just rub on her. For you to think that I ain't sick as you is typical. I got a pharmacy in my pencil. I spit medicinal. This is nickel warning niggas. I'm crazy like saying shady, afraid to get on songs with niggas. My money, young money, cash money, millionaire.
Brand new and fresh. Big shout going out to Quincy Tones on the beat. Money, young money, cash. Talib Kweli, Lil Wayne, Royce the 5'9, and Dap C.
My money, young money, cash money, millionaire. Cash money, millionaire.
All right, Peter, you're going to have to jump. Is that right? You're going to have to skate. Deal with this toilet issue.
I got to hand some BI right now, but I figure you guys can hold down DMC on your own.
All right, man, no, I appreciate that. Right, sorted. So, we're going to get to DMC very, very shortly in a few tracks' time. All right, Peter, man, God bless. Keep in touch. Let's speak before the next show, obviously, and just keep things moving. Any shout-outs, et cetera, any things to tell people about, for people to look out for and stuff?
You know, rosenbergradio.com. That's pretty much it. I was on the... I was on the top 100 rap songs on VH1 for about 2 seconds, so if you catch the top 10 songs, I was in there. And that's it, yo. But the next time we talk, it'll be almost election time, man. It'll be crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy show. All right, let's go into this exclusive that you passed over to us in the studio. We'll drop this. All right, man, God bless. Have a good night. Have a good day.
Peace, guys.
Peace.
Peace.
This is a Rosenberg exclusive. Hot 97.
And they call me S-K-Y-Z-O-O-Z. Odyssey, what up? Yeah, Rosenberg, what up? Seven and eight, shit. 202, shit.
301 shit.
Brand new.
Yeah. The soul controller, controlling what they throw up. So they rep what I says like I was in front of the roll up. I grew up with the rollers and none of it was in vain. If at the end of the day we left with more than we came with. Flow of flowers and you can say it's the go. And the meaning he goes further than anywhere that they go with it. Meaning he throws words and the theory that they can cope with it. It's so ass back that they celebrate in the same flip. You see how I connect the 8 with the 4. When you was focused on the follow, I related the call. I scooped the 718, we grenaded the door. And you have yet to hear a pin that gravitates this brawl. I'm SK, the pipeline of legend lifetimes. Meaning I'm the last left of the left that right lines. Get it? Right lines? Nah, why bother? Sleep on it and try again tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm so motherfucking soulful. Yeah, tribe told ya. My niggas keep it getting green like a soul food. Spell never. All we is on the vocals. We got to keep it for the future of the old school. Now NY stay, and DC stay, the East Coast stay, and Rosenberg stay, and Odyssey stay, and Sky Zoo stay. A couple names out my food, now you stay.
I said I'm flow boy fresh. So whenever I flow,
this is a Rosenberg exclusive, Hot 97.
Flow boy vex, but I ain't mad at you. I'm the flow boy's best. I'm flow boy. It's getting to the point now that I can only point down. Fitted touching the ceiling, I'm kneeling and they pointing wild like, look at the sky. You see him, but see no other. Thank God I'm pissed to see that I can see brother. Lyrically rediscover every one that you should, and know that I'm what you should fuck with for good. I'm everything that they dreamt for, but in the same breath, everything that they dreamt on. I hope you slept well from the moment I've been on. I homicided everything you tried to ride with, so all the non-believers is all trying to hide it. I never minded any one of you lames, and I would try to forgive if I remembered it.
Yeah, so motherfucking soul. Yeah, try to told you. My
absolutely fresh. Never been played anywhere until now.
All we is on the vocals, we got to keep it for the future of the old NY state.
Odyssey. Peter Rosenberg. So Peter's gone to sort out his toilet issue.
A couple names out my food now. Herb
Ferguson.
It is awful when you get accused of toilet-related business, don't you find, Menace?
Bless him.
That's the worst thing, you know, about moving in when you do live with a woman, is the whole toilet seat issue. It's something that happens that you kind of dismiss because you feel dirty and bad after it, but it does actually happen, this whole issue about... Because, see, women don't ever say straight up, they never come to you and go, you piss on the toilet seat. They never do that. They say, did you use my toilet? And you know what that means. And you're like going, why do we do that? Maybe it is just me. Maybe I'm just really putting my neck on the line here. But guys just do, we no matter what we do, it's never good enough when it comes to the toilet. No, but we just heard that Peter Rosenberg then has been accused. This is quite a serious issue. Apparently the LAPD are being pulled in here. He's been accused of blocking the toilet after his early morning expenditure. So we'll update you on the next show, and of course on the Friday night live show, 5 p.m. EST, every single Friday, conspiracyuk.com, conspiracyblog.net. You can tune in there and catch all the guests. I mean, who we got on this Friday? We've got Young Jeezy. Young Jeezy is going to be with us. Young Jeezy. Tech N9ne. Who else?
Das FX.
Kid Capri, hopefully. So... already looking like a nice lineup. I'm also trying, and I've not even told you about this yet, Menace, but I'm also trying for Pharaoh March for this Friday as well.
That would be sick.
So we shall see. Already signing nice lineups. That's conspiracyuk.com, conspiracyblog.net contains all our previous shows. Check us out if you've never heard us before. If all you've heard us is on this show as the Viking prisoners of Peter Rosenberg, then do check out conspiracyuk.com and see what we've been doing for the past couple of years. A lot of things going down. Okay, DMC says he's ready, and we are too. Get ready for this legendary chat on its way. Shouting out to the MSN crew.
Cut off the lights, close the door. Get out this jungle, it's the juggle jobs, a hustle, cause if not, you bound to struggle, dawg. I'm taking out some time to pray, trying to find a lines to say to y'all that only found a couple bars. Check it, a little better by staying humble. I still hear my grandpa mumble, stay out of trouble, boy. Cause these days I sit and wonder how I manage to handle myself and keep from going under the edge. Yeah,
I brush my teeth and get a bite to eat. I shower half an hour, now I'm back on my feet. Cause this song reminded me of my peeps. I pour some liquor for my nigga. Rest in peace. For hours about the current state of all this bullshit flooding the market, yet they call themselves artists. Please, harmless motherfucking partners. Create escapes to make our dreams seem smaller and smaller. Have a chance to make a change, I will, and I ain't laying down my soul for gold or any forms of bills. Forget it, I'm in this business to strip it of all its limits and live it till all is finished on the road called its limits. It's the
only way
to make it out this motherfucking ghetto without hustling drugs or busting metal. It's by praying before my mission starts, giving heart and soul to every piece of scroll I've written off. A little worth living on earth. God has given us a choice and I've chosen to make it work.
Like it was yesterday.
Like when we used to use our brains, now we losing our minds, grinding for change instead of changing it. Yeah, and go to work without changes. For the verse about changing the game from the state of sand. Yeah, about that same old song. Wondering, will these niggas stop making that same old song? While listening to Richard speak through comedy, but obviously painting a bigger picture for these black folks. Cause it's not, and that's a fact, folks. I promise my mama that I'ma take it back, folks. Have a chance to make a change, I'm willing. I ain't laying down my soul for gold or any forms of bills. Forget it, I'm in this business of stripping of all its limits and living. So all is finished on the road called the slimmest. It's the.
Don't forget to check out our Facebooks as well. Check out Facebook, type in Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, Mr. Montana, or Menace. You'll find us.
It's been 2 years, man, of waiting, man.
Here he is, the man with the best laugh in the world, Murs.
Supporters and my fans, man, I know y'all been waiting. Now it's finally here, and thank you for your patience. The world's gone crazy since we last spoke. Bloodshed and war, the absence of hope. Shooting at the school, economy's a joke. Homies on heroin, homies on coke. But can you even blame them when they only trying to cope? Damn. All these rappers wanna talk about is guns and dope. Don't they realize we all at the end of our rope? The future all depends on the power of our quotes. The power of a pen, the power of a vote. The power of your words, the power of your voice. The power of America's the freedom of choice. We choose to do nothing, we lose and we suffering. That it's time to do something. It's not socialism, it's not communism. It's loving each other, realize there's no difference. It's positive movement, gradual improvement. When no one else does, believe you can do it. My heart is a speaker, I bleed this music. The beat's in my blood, I must transfuse it. If it wasn't for this, then I just might lose it. Damn. My goddaughters, Nadia Simone, Deanna, knowing that her father's never coming home. Claimed by the streets, it's the mother war zone. Tears in my eyes as I'm writing this song. Mommy working two jobs, trying to do it on her own. No matter where I go or how far I roam, know that I love you and you'll never be alone. Damn, y'all so grown. And a wise man told me, man, like, life is like a table full of, like, glasses of water. And your job is to keep them all full, you know what I'm saying? So everyone's happy, but at the same time, you gotta keep your pitcher full of water so you can fill everybody else up. And it's like, damn! From the independent hip-hop scene, now they talking like I'm not a hip-hop fiend. Needle in my arm, can't they see I'm ODing? You'll never take the stripes in this triple OGing. I blaze trails, created festival, lost 50 G's on pay dues, is that acceptable? What? I'm not down for the cause. Hold on, Mike, I'ma need a few bars. I could've done the Nas and screamed hip-hop is dead. I got up on my ass and I did something instead. Signed with the devil, brought the scene up a level. Killed the beast from within, I'm a born-again rebel. Trying to save the youth from the way of the gun. And if I only save one, then my job is done. So you can say what you will, but you should judge me none. From my God, from my faith, as I move place to place. Times I thought if I could just die, I'd be great. Drop on the spot, man, I didn't even care. I stopped talking to you, I stopped saying prayers. Numb from the liquor and the antidepressants. Pressure from the label, studio stressing. Almost lost my passion to pursue this profession. From myself, from my soul, when I'm out on the road, I give so much out to these kids I don't know. I thought I lost you, but no one to talk to. But you're the one that opened up these doors.
doors that I walk through. I can't fault you, only forgive you. I'm the only one that's seen the pain that you've been through, the drama, the struggle that built all your issues. The drama, the struggle that built all these issues. It's all just to make sure they never forget you.
Did I leave your mind when I was gone? It's not my thing trying to get back, but this time let me tell you where I'm at.
It's the cause for war.
DMC on his way.
We was up with Pop, brother, when Pop got murdered, and I admit I never thought that it would pop off further. But when I heard they popped the burners by his grandpa's crib, I needed answers like a teacher who's giving the pop quiz. So once we left the station where hip-hop lives, I went back around the wing and popped up at his crib. And his kids said he just came home from Pop Warner, and they popped us in the bathroom, soaking in the sauna. I ran around the corner to plot his demise, cause for crossing the line, Pop, Pop, go the nine. You gotta understand, my man Pop had a future. He could have been somebody, they didn't have to shoot you. But on the same note, when you trying to hit the pop chart, you better make sure that Toaster's on you like a pop chart. Cause it's not smart to be back on the block where they wanna hit your bone, snap, crack them and pop. My name is Mr. Popularity, fam, I get it poppin' for real.
More than a hustle, I'm the definition of
my
it.
My name is Mr. Popularity, fam, I get it poppin'.
Bitch, with pain.
My name is Mr. Popularity, fam, I get it poppin'.
No matter what I do, you know I do it to death.
My name is Mr. Popularity, fam, I get it poppin'.
Because I'm number one.
The way Pop was married to the game, he might as well have popped the question. Cause he would pop a nigga chain to pop up in a session. And he was such a headache that they had to pop Excedrin and treat him like a pop star or an urban legend. Even heard from his brethren that he fiend for the spotlight and the paparazzi that comes with the pop life. And at the stoplight, he was heard talking shit like I could show you how to ball, like Cody Pop a bitch. Of course he got a bitch that he would throw in the drive, who was shaped like a bottle that was filled with soda pop. And when she went to the cops and gave out information, that's how he wound up in general population. You see, the combination of being the most popular and most likely to pop at you wasn't too popular. It's like a movie that you watch with popcorn, the ends right before Pop returns to top. My name is Mr. Popularity, fam, I get it poppin' for real.
More than a hustle, I'm the definition of
my
it.
My name is Mr. Popularity, fam, I get it poppin'.
Of course, Static Selector.
That's all I gotta say.
My name is Mr. Popularity, fam.
We're gonna go into one track by an artist called Armin.
My name is Mr. Pop.
Go check him out on Google if you like what you hear now. That's R-Mean, M-E-A-N. Three's the magic number.
Climb out the spider web. I try to find the steps inside the rival's nest. I find I am the type to be biting the vampire's neck. My mind reflects on how my rhymes affect everyone's life and death. It's sick, plus this medicine's got multiple side effects. And since they tie respect to blinks, my fire's dead, it dimmed. It's like I'm left on a flight where the pilot's dead. But I get pepped and learn how to fly in the little time that's left. Slice the necks of any vipers left, give them a violent death. Their eyes can disguise it, yes. They nervous, beside they sweat. They dirt is inside the eyes like the ice of a diamond fresh. My cry was denied when I tried to try, so my final breath, that's when I changed my mind, rewind the text. Climb out the spider web. I try to find the steps inside the rival's nest, but I just find myself through these vicious lyrics. My blurry thoughts that cause a suspicious image, hiding behind the curtain. The shadow is shaped like an eight, the smiling type of serpent. If life is this bitch, she's bootylicious. If life is a record, the music's skipping. Life is the devil, this is his crucifixion. Sacred of spirits, invisible lyrics infiltrating your ignorance, heiress in an individual's livid repeatedly, like the reappearance of Christopher's visit. This period's dog, oblivious doors, this lyrics is lost. And I touch much people at once like terrorists bombing. I'm desperate like a terrorist with dynamite across. I'm shaking like the hands of a man disarming bombs with caution. The ganja got me yawning. Since I'm living for this shallow tomorrow, today is nothing but a shadow that follows. So tens of these bottles are empty and hollow. Like apologies, or your friends be tomorrow. I drink away the tension and sorrow. Was clogging up my lungs, I steadily drown. A hideous face of reality is staring me down. With a frown, I can bow to the ground. But I vow to be proud, so I'm bound to get loud. Cause I'm live like the Roots crew do. I get aroused by the sounds of this doo-doo flute. The voodoo dolls and pins don't excite me. Tend to not like me. distance or wipey, and skins like ivy. Vincent's unlikely to cut off his ear if he hear the pictures I'm painting with rugged and clear. There's blood on my beard, will suddenly steer. There's nothing to fear except my hunger and my stomach's filled with nothing but air. So be scared, the smell of formaldehyde gets me erected. Listen, I have your ass waking up with both of your kidneys missing. My flow is cold and the nose is dripping, hotter than the focus of this solar system. So call me a contradiction within my soul, the hot and the cold are coexisting. Blessed with a curse, I can't let go of my own conviction. It's when I'm spitting, I'm sending shivers and hot flashes. This creation is unexplainable, stop asking. We leave our gloves in the compartment, the clock stashing. With fingerprints all over my victim, I kiss them. The aura's on them, I can sense their presence is foul. Panic on a bomb, I'm like turning 9/11 around. That's the war I'm causing, crushed landmines as I'm walking on them. We free from chains, except the ones that got crosses on them. Causing abortions after you're born, the son erase your mother's mistakes by doing what she knows she should have done. I might be sci-fi, I fight wisely, I'm feisty. This mister is bigger than Ron Isley. You don't like me, fight me, get wicked. You facing a sick lyrical haven. Basically, I just switch spirits with Satan, engraving initials in your brain, severely severing you on several different planes. I killed and killed again. My rhyme does stingy flow, but it spills for sin like Christ's blood. Cause I love these high temperature peaks. I sweat when I speak and my blood pressure increase. So step on my feet and while some let you decease, I don't see no reasons for me to have you resting in peace. Cause I came to bring excruciating pain and nothing else, penetrating bones when my hammer hits these rusty nails. I crucify you. The devil's present inside of my mind. I crucify you. The wolves acting like sheep in disguise. I crucify you. Any MC who thinks he can rhyme. I crucify you. Give him a slow death, I'm taking my time. I crucify. The demons living inside of my soul. I crucify you. When these lyrics drilling into your bone. I crucify you. Any MC who thinks he can flow. I crucify you. Motherfuckers wanna bring it, let's go. I crucify you. Pentagon, I crucify you. What?
DMC, welcome back to the show.
What's up? Thanks for having me again.
It's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a few months, hasn't it, since we last spoke? And of course, as always, so many things have happened. You've been blessed with a life which has been full of news stories. Just break down some of the things that have happened in the past months, some of the biggest things that you've been working on or things which have happened and occurred in your life.
Well, recently, let me see what I've been doing. I've been in a studio working on a new album. Hopefully that'll drop at the beginning of the year. And I'm really excited about the new album. It's going to be fun. It's going to be authentic. It's going to be innovative, creative, inspirational, and purposeful hip-hop, which is kind of what's missing, you know, from the airways and from the streets and, you know, the videos from right now. But most importantly, the biggest thing that recently happened was we finally got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's correct.
And like in the past, like this whole week, once the nominations came out, everywhere I go, people keep telling me, congratulations, congratulations. And I keep forgetting. And I'm like, why do people, oh, wow, yeah, the nomination is huge.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's 25 years from your first album.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I kind of forget how long I've been in this game. It's been a long time, but I still feel like I'm 12 years old. Because that's what hip-hop is supposed to do to you. It's timeless.
Yeah, yeah. Now, these Rock and Roll Awards, these are huge. They're the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, this you would be, Run DMC, who have been voted, if you were to, in fact, you have been the second hip-hop group behind Grandmaster Flash and the Furious
Five.
Is that correct? The only time?
Yes, that's correct.
Ever?
Yep.
So that's
correct. Because people don't realize, a lot of people think, that hip-hop started with Run DMC, and it's funny. You guys started this. This is what we get everywhere we go. And, you know, some people believe it started with Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang. But it was actually Flash, Grandmaster Flash, and Furious Five. They put out an album when they did the single The Message, which is one of the greatest hip-hop records ever written. And even before then, there's pioneers before Run DMC, because we were influenced by the likes of Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five, Africa Bambaataa, the Zulu Nation, Treacherous 3, Funky 4 Plus 1, Cold Crush 4 MCs, Curtis Blow, DJ Hollywood. I mean, there's a whole arsenal of MCs and DJs before Run DMC ever even got on a record. And because of those guys, we credit those guys for allowing hip-hop to exist, you know?
Yeah.
Because before them, Flash and them really had no MCs and DJs to look up to because they were the first ones. They set the stage for all this to happen. So Flash got in because they wrote that great record. They did that album, which had the message, which was a whole jump off for people to even pay attention to hip-hoppers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, now to talk more about this rock and roll Hall of Fame that's on the way, 2009. I've, of course, got my co-host as ever, Menace, in the studio. He wants to talk on this and a few more things. So, Menace, it's all on you.
Oh.
How you doing, D?
What's happening? What's good? What's good?
How you doing? So how does, let me ask you this, how does being inducted, you know, into the Hall of Fame compare to, let's say, a Grammy Award nomination? Is there a kind of difference in the pride you have, you know, out of the two for you?
Yeah, well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination is way bigger than a Grammy and you know, American Music Awards and other music awards because you got to understand something. We were just rappers. We were just MCs and DJs from the streets of New York. And we were just doing something that we loved. And to be put in a Hall of Fame with the likes of Eric Clapton, the Beatles, John Lennon, Bob Dylan, The Who, The Doors, you know, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix. You know, this is crazy. It's much huger. But the whole, it's not about being put in, and it's not about us. It's about that finally gives hip-hop the validation as a serious part of music. Because, I mean, for us, even though there were rappers before us, and before rap was even on a record, we used to make tapes, cassette tapes, you know, I don't even know if a lot of the younger listeners even know what a cassette tape is because they so, you know, they're in the MP3s and iPods. But we used to make cassette recordings of the live shows that the DJs and the MCs were doing in the parks, at the block parties, and at the house parties. Now, for us to come from the parks, the basements, and the house parties in the streets of New York, just rhyming over beats, you know, crates of records by, we was rhyming over beats, we was rhyming over records by Hall of artists who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We was taking their beats, James Brown and Aerosmith and, you know what I'm saying, the Beatles, and we was rapping over these people's beats because they were the musicians who made all the great music that we had to use to do our raps over because we did not have access to studios and musicians. To be inducted into a Hall of Fame with them is mind-blowing. We can't even comprehend it. But it's more, forget about us being the group that the groups that are in there. When Flash went in and we going in, that's just validation that hip-hop, listen, There's a lot of good hip-hop out now, but all the great hip-hop records did something to change perception, to change music, to change the world, to change people's think. Like I tell a lot of MCs, anybody, everybody got a demo tape, everybody wants to be a rapper, everybody got the music up on MySpace, everybody got a mixtape, everybody could spit a 16-bar verse. But could you make records? Can you make music? Could you make an album? These rappers today don't make albums. They make one or two ringtone cuts, and then they full an album with junk and garbage and nonsense. It's not connected, it's not cohesive, it's not, doesn't have any continuity. But Flash, The Message, Run DMC's, It's Like That, and My Adidas. Even though we talked about our sneakers, it wasn't about how many sneakers we had and how much money we had to buy the sneakers. We talked about what these sneakers did. These sneakers went from the corners of New York to around the world till we stepped on stage at Live Aid. So for us to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I believe the next group to go in, hands down, has to be Public Enemy, because nobody did what they did. You know what I'm saying? A lot of MCs sell records and make money, but a lot of their music doesn't change the world to impact everybody that hears it. So for us, for me personally, for Flash, for Bam, for T.E., for, you know, Eric being rocked, all the LL, all the MCs and DJs that made great music, not just was, oh, they made a lot of money last year and they sold a million ringtones, or, you know, they got sneaker businesses and they make a move. I'm talking about our culture. This is validation that, yes, this culture does mean something to music history. I tell people all the time, hip-hop is the brother of rock and roll. If you look at the hip-hop kid, he got to have the new Timberlands on. He got to have the brand-new jeans on. He got to have the new T-shirt. But the rock and roll kid wants the Timberlands from 50 years ago. He wants the oldest pair of ripped holy jeans with dirt on them that he can find. And he wants the oldest vintage T-shirt from 1968 at the actual Rolling Stones concert. It's two different expressions, but it's the same feeling. That's why when we made our rock and roll records, you know, people looked at us, you know, because, you know, Run DMC, we did Rock Box, and then we did King of Rock, and people really didn't pay attention until we did Walk This Way. And a lot of people thought we made Walk This Way to get white people. Even before we ever made a rock, even before we ever wrapped over a rock guitar on our records, we had white people, I'm talking about rock kids, at our concerts, because they like Sucker MCs. If Sucker MCs did not have a guitar on it, but when we used to do shows in New York, and we used to go into the Village, and we used to go downtown, and we used to play the Peppermint Lounge and CBGB's, the rock kids were there knowing every word to Sucker MCs 2 years ago, afraid, because it was raw, it was real, it was rebellious, it was aggressive. But people don't realize we didn't do rock and roll to get white people to be accepted as rock and roll stars. The reason why we made rock records is because before we had a chance to make our own records, we used to rhyme over those beats. So it was already there for us. But being in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is just validation that if you make some great hip-hop music, you can be accepted as a rock. We rock stars, but we're not rock stars from the point of Hollywood. We're rock stars because we're going to make records that are controversial. We're going to make records that are fun. We're going to make records that are creative and innovative. And being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just acknowledges that fact that when we first started, Run DMC, we just did what Flash and Pam and everybody was doing before they got on rock records. We took the beat from the street, like I said on Adidas again. We took the beat from the street, we put it on TV. But before all of that went down, we were kind of like rock and roll stars. We were making records that were musically innovative and creative. But above all of that, people wasn't just looking at us, you know, and we were young. The great rappers and MCs and DJs that made innovative visionary records would know, you know, the age was, particularly for a rapper, was 15 to no older than 22 years old. That was the age. And we were young making this music, but we was making people go, wow, do you hear what these young people are saying? Because we was talking about politics and religion and society and economics and poverty and social commentary. But at the same time, when you look at Run DMC and Public Enemy and the Beastie Boys and LL Cool J, we were making some crazy ass records that people were like, whoa, this stuff is actually good. But people would ask Run DMC in the beginning. I'm talking about from 82 to about 88. People would always ask us wherever we go, okay, it's cool, but where do you think you'll be in 10 years? Where do you think you'll be in 5 years? Is hip-hop is rap music a fad? And me, Jay, and Run would always say, in 15 to 20 years, we'll be back here doing an interview with you. Because it was already big for us. Before we ever put rap on a record, it was there. So if the music industry ended tomorrow, hip-hop would still be here. There's no way hip-hop could die. I mean, the music business itself kind of killed it. You know, instead of saying hip-hop is dead, we should have said the music business is trying to kill hip-hop. Because the music business has no idea what it's about, what it's for, and where it should be going.
Exactly, exactly. 20 years ago this month, you released your fourth studio album, Tougher Than Leather. You know, the album went on to sell double platinum, and unlike a lot of group albums today, it's naturally appealing to not just hardcore hip-hop heads, but, you know, the entire world. Reflecting right. back to then, what great memories do you have recording that album?
Well, I mean, for us, our recording process was, it was a weird recording process because we knew, like, everything we wrote, we would record, you know what I'm saying? But the thing that made our album so good is a lot of it was spontaneous, meaning if, you know, we said we'd be on stage and we might do something. I might say a rhyme and, you know, Jay will drop a beat. And it was spontaneous. Like, I could just start freestyling off the top of the head and Jay will just reach in a crate and drop a beat. And we'll go, yo, we got to do that on a record. So mark that down. That's a song. Or, like, when we did the Hit It Run thing, Hit It Run and Joe was doing a beatbox. That was just spontaneous. We did one night, and then the next day we was like, yo, last night, remember when D was rhyming? And when he said, Hit It, Run, and Joe, you just did the beatbox because that's just what you felt? So we got to make a record like that. So for us, because we were a live rap group, like people say, the thing that made Run DMC so dope was our stage show. We had two turntables, the microphones, a crate of record, Jay, and a crowd. That's all we needed. We didn't need no dancers. We didn't need no props. We didn't need no special lighting. We didn't need no uniforms. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't a choreographed group. So every time we would play a show, we would always do something that we didn't do before. So everything that we did, everything that we said, everything that we wore, I mean, if it moved, we could make a record about it. And that's what we did. We would always feed off the energy of what the crowd was interested in. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. With hip-hop always experiencing, you know, generational problems, you know, it's no myth between new school rappers, this and old school rappers, and vice versa.
Excuse
lately,
me?
You know, I just was saying how, you know, this generation problem, you know, hip-hop has between new school rappers, old school rappers, each other.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. You know
my point's this. Lately, you know, the new trend seems to be rappers this and rappers up the strength of how many units they sell. You know,
right.
It's almost as if the content of albums are being ignored. How do you feel about this obsession of people being over concerned with sales as opposed to music?
But the reason why, that's an easy question for me to answer. The reason why they're so concerned with sales is because that's all that they have. There's nothing else there, and none of the new artists, there's nothing else there concrete that can spark innovation, creativity, to create the competition that is necessary. There's nothing else competitive. See, the reason why old-school hip-hop was so dope, the reason why old-school hip-hop was so competitive, and don't get me wrong, the old-school isn't a time period. It's a feeling and it's a consciousness. It's a way of thinking, a way of living. But the reason why it was so dope is because if you look to the left, you got Run DMC over there doing what they do. You look over there, you got Eric B. and Rakim doing what they do. You look over there, you got LL doing what he does. You look over there, you got De La Soul doing what they do. You look over there, you got NWA doing what they do. You look over there, you got Tribe Called Quest doing what they do. You look over there, you got Kool G Rap doing what they do. And Ice Cube said it so eloquently. We were all from the same place. Look, I live 5 minutes from LL. LL and me, we live 5 minutes from... Hollis was 5 minutes from Farmers Boulevard. Run DMC was on Hollis. LL was on Farmers. Tribe Called Quest was 5 minutes from LL on Linden Boulevard. Another 15 minutes down the road was Public Enemy. 5 minutes from Public Enemy was EPMD. 5 minutes from EPMD was Eric B. and Rakim. Ice Cube said, yo, we were, the reason why old school hip-hop was so defining, the reason why hip-hop exists, is because we were all from the same place, but we all were doing, saying, and presenting something different. If you look at the hip-hop today, they all look the same. They all sound the same. Everybody's on everybody's record. You got the same producers producing it. Everybody is a bunch of monotonous, talentless bullshit. I mean, I'm sorry to say it that way. And the reason why that they can only focus on sales is because what else is there to focus on? See, people knew, okay, look at Run DMC. They got the rock and roll. They got the Adidas with no laces. They wear the Godfather hats. Now, we all can wear gold chains. We all can wear the gold chains, but you better not come using our beats. You better not come trying to look or sound like us or even dress like us. So everybody knew they had a responsibility. The only thing that's missing from hip-hop today is the responsibility of the artist. You got to understand something. With these hip-hop people today, they hire stylists to dress them. They pay people to tell them what to wear. That's not hip-hop. Mm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the rappers got ghostwriters, meaning they got people writing their rhymes. That's not hip-hop. Mm. You know what that is? Show business. And what separates us is not a generation gap. It's an information gap. These artists today don't really know what it took to do what we had to do. And especially when hip-hop became 24 hours on radio, you know, on corporate radio where the playlist and it's the same records, every same eight records every 20 minutes. But when hip-hop became 24 hours on the radio, that kind of ruined it all for the great artists and the great writers and the great producers and the great innovators. You know why? Because now the radio station's got to fill those hours with rap music, and they don't care if the rap music is worthless and full of crap and not saying nothing. Mm. See, when hip-hop was on Thursday, Friday night, or, you know, that Wednesday night special mix show, or, you know, if you tune in Tuesday night, we got 1 hour of hip-hop we're going to give you, and we're going to play some new, great, up-and-coming artists. Right now, back then, you had to be really, really unique. You had to have a dope sound. You had to be saying something. Your flows had to be tight. You had to have substance to even get on the radio and on the hip-hop shows. Now, they just don't. If you listen to the rap, there's no direction. There's nothing there where you can say, wow, that's really a great record. See, it's like you said earlier, we know how many records these rappers sold. We know who they're dating. We know who got arrested last night. We know what kind of car they're driving. We know what kind of jewelry is on his neck. But we don't know what they're saying because they ain't saying nothing. Mm-hmm. See, when we rolled up with our jewels and cars and our women and our Hollywood set, if you was interviewing us, if we showed up at MTV, for example, there was no way the MTV VJ was going to say, tell me who your designer is. Who made the gold chain for you? Do you have jewelry from Jacob? You know what I'm saying? They would go, come here, DMC or LL, Beasties or Tribe Called Quest, Eric B. and Rakim. They would go, why did you make such good music?
Exactly.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if you look at award shows now, it's about who's your designer and, you know, what kind of car you get in. They knew what we was doing, but our music and our verses and our lyrics and our presentation was so awe-inspiring, they could only talk to us the way they would talk to Paul McCartney or Eric Clapton or Jimi Hendrix or James Brown or Quincy Jones. Nowadays, the questions is a joke because the rap is a joke. See, you got to understand something. There are hip-hop artists and there are hip-hop acts. And an act means you're putting on an act. You know what I'm saying? Okay, who's your designer? Who's your writer? Who's your choreographer? You know what I'm saying? But with an artist, you're going to talk about the art. So that's the real difference. It's not a generation gap. It's an information gap. See, I know everything about every artist before me. I know why they did it. I can recite all the lyrics. I know how the stage show was. I knew the purpose of a mixer. I knew that to be a real DJ, even though you could use Serato and you could use computer stuff, you're not a real DJ unless you got a record collection and know how to use actual wax. You know what I'm saying? These guys don't know that. They think, okay, I got to get a video, and I got to get a record deal, and I got to get a stylist, and I got to get a ghostwriter, and I got to get a choreographer, and all I need to do is sell units and make money. No, you need to get up on stage and bust somebody's ass and show them what hip-hop is about, but they don't think about that thing.
No.
That's why you don't see us with them. You know, a lot of these rappers say, you know, Rakim's my idol, and, oh, Run DMC's my idol, and, you know, Eric B. and Kuji Rap's my idol, you know, Big Daddy Kane's my idol, then put them on a show with you. But if they was to do that, their audience, those people who are buying their records that's making them the millionaires that they are, would see, wow, I've been supporting this guy, and he don't even give me what this guy Daddy Kane's giving me. What is this? I do shows with some of the kids look at me and go, what is this? Because we got a DJ up there, we're dropping beats, and we're rapping, and we're telling the crowd, throw your hands in the air, make some noise, scream. And, like, they'll see a real hip-hop show and go, what is that? Because they so used to looking at videos and thinking, oh, that's what hip-hop is.
Absolutely.
So it's an information gap. Yeah. It's not a generation gap because, listen, the youngest guy in hip-hop today has nothing on Public Enemy, De La Soul, and Daddy Kane. Chuck D will take out every rapper. If he was to put all these rappers today in a battle, I'm talking about a battle with Chuck D, record for record, rhyme for rhyme, Chuck would eat them.
Yeah. How much can we blame, though? How much can we blame these new up-and-coming artists? Or how much can we blame the consumers nowadays? The consumers. These artists are wearing this jewelry. There's a big concern about their cars, their video. There's a reason for that. Of course, it's sales. But do we ever point the finger at today's consumer?
Well, no, it's all about market. And that's like a whole another level. The consumer, look, the consumer looks at the material, to put it like this, the consumer looks at the material image that the artist is presenting, so they think, instead of getting the knowledge, listen, but you got to understand something. So they're looking at these artists, right? They're looking at these artists and they're saying, wow, the cars, the jewelry, the hip-hop showbiz lifestyle is great. So I need those things to be cool. You know what I'm saying? It's just like us. We were so dope that everybody wanted to wear Gazelle gold chains and Adidas with no laces, but it wasn't because of our image. It was because of what we were saying. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you would listen to, if you look at Eric B. and Rakim, they were the first with the Rolls Royce on the cover, the $3,000 tailored suits, the big jewelry, they had the knots of money. But if you listen to everything coming out of Rakim's mouth, he didn't say, I'm Rakim Alon, a stick-up kid. And people was like, man, we got to be cool like Rakim, and we got to act like stick-up kids and act like we're from the ghetto. He dropped out. He said, I used to be a stick-up kid. I don't do that no more. So there was a responsibility the artist had that the audience would respect. And you got to realize something. Hip-hop, real hip-hop, doesn't just create rappers and DJs and rich people. Real hip-hop created journalists, radio personalities, writers, directors, designers, some of the greatest graffiti artists and now designers, some of the greatest DJs and producers and rappers are authors and journalists and writers and stuff like that. See, the difference is now, the hip-hop, I'm talking about coming from the artist, there's no substance in the music that they're saying, so it's all about the look. A lot of people look and say, wow, to be cool, I got to be like such and such who's hot right now. Or, you know, the only way for me to be accepted in hip-hop is to, you know, sell a lot of ringtones. You know, I mean, I talked to De La Soul about this, and I talked to Freddie Fox about this, and we sit around, and we just say it's amazing how these new guys will walk in a room, and they'll walk up to the front and go, yeah, I just sold a million ringtones, as opposed to being happy about the great creative, innovative record they made. So you can't blame it on the audience because, look, If I only feed you ham and eggs, that's all you're going to be eating, right? But it's my responsibility to let you know also about steak and fish and tuna fish and cookies and pound cake and, you know what I'm saying? the artist is only looking about at what. No, but see, I can't say it's the man either. The audience is only eating what they are being fed.
Yeah, yeah.
See, we were just as materialistic as the rappers today, but we didn't just talk about material things. You know, I have young dudes go, but your guys from the old school talked about what y'all had. And I said, you know what, brother, you're right, but it was a difference. First of all, we rapped about stuff we wanted because it wasn't so easy to get. See, it's easy for you to get that thing. All you got to do is go make a record about something materialistic and sell a million ringtones. You're going to make some money, and maybe the corporation will come give you that. But you got to understand, we rapped about things we wanted. Man, we wanted Rolls Royce and a fur coat and a gold chain. But then when we got them, we made one record about it, and you never heard it about it again. Mm. All the guys out today, they've been rapping about the same things. They're on their fifth and sixth album, and they're still talking about the same things on their first album.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. We talked about our Big Long Caddy on one album, one record, and you never heard us rap about our cars again. Because now that we got it, you've seen us get it, go get yours too. But they're looking for validation because, first of all, their rhymes are fake. Half of these guys can't rhyme. You know what I'm saying? They can't rap. They can't rap. There's, like I said, there's good records. And in the last, you know, all the great records of hip-hop will stand the test of time. It's just like when I talk to kids, I say, people say classic rock. When you say classic rock, right away, people think, oh, that's old, like, you know, the Beatles and 60s Bob Dylan and, you know, Led Zeppelin. I say, no, classic means better than anything that will ever come after it for eternity. And I tell them, old school doesn't mean it's an old time period. Old school means the best rap music that will be better than everything they make after that time period. And they say, well, how are you going to say that? And all I got to do is tell these young kids, go listen. I got young kids that will say, such and such is hot right now, he's the best rapper. I said, no, such and such is just popular right now because he sold a million ringtones. Listen to this. I put on a J.Ru the Damager record for this little kid, and this little kid was like, oh my, who's this? Where could I get this guy from? I said, yo, this guy was out 12 years ago. I said, this guy was better than everybody that you like this year. This guy was better than him 12 years ago. So if he was better than all your people now 12 years ago, where do you think he's at, what level he's on now? Mm-hmm. You know what that little kid said? He said, I'm going to go home, I'm going to listen to Public Enemy and J.Ru the Damager and Kangstar, because they're not looking to see if these guys, see, the difference between the old school artists and the current artists now, they're not looking to see if these guys have the money and the cars and the mansions that these guys got. They go listen to these guys to see why the people that in their current generation ain't saying what they're... We're the same age. We was, what, Run DMC, we started, we was 18 years old, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23. We made some of the best music of our lives at a young age. They hear us now, and they forget about the cars, because when they hear us spit a verse, they go, they listen to us, and they try to put two and two together and say, well, why isn't my generation's rappers doing this? You know what I'm saying? Because the reason why they ain't doing it, because the labels don't allow the rappers of this generation to be mentored by the ones who started it. If you look at football or baseball or soccer, if I was playing for the soccer team 10 years ago, when I retire, somewhere along the line, I'm going to work for that organization, right? I might be the coach. I might be the trainer. I might be player personnel. I might be in the front office. You know what I'm saying? The reason why they don't let the great MCs and DJs and producers work now is because we would change the world. We change how the game played. They want to keep it to the thing where let's not have these young boys and girls be advanced. Make sure every video chick is half naked so that the young girls sitting at home watching the video see their idea of how to be famous. They don't want to see a fully dressed woman. They don't want to see, the industry doesn't allow a Queen Latifah, a Moni Love, a Lauryn Hill, a Bahamadia, MC Light in this generation. You know why? They don't want to see a powerful black woman from the ghetto talking knowledge. They don't want to see, listen, half the rappers from the old school were drug dealers and stick-up kids. But when we stepped to the microphone, oh my God, those kids in the hood, we were inspiring them to be better. You know what I'm saying? Naughty by Nature, Tretch. He runs around Jersey with bulletproof vests and guns and machetes. But when he stepped to the record, when he stepped to the microphone, think of what came out of him. OPP, Hip Hop Array, Ghetto Bastard. You know what I'm saying? Us, we were from the streets, but when we made records, you know, we didn't make records saying, yeah, we're the reason why there's poverty in the hood. We did the message, broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage. The world was like, you know, because, you know, the reception was, oh, New York, Studio 54, the Bee Gees, John Travolta, fur coats, and cocaine, and Rolls Royces, all life is good in New York. And we came with the truth. See, it's the rappers, the artists, the rapper, the MC and producers, the DJ's responsibility to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, not just one side of it. Sure, we like going out to parties and we like drinking champagne and, you know, we like going to pool parties. But the perception, that's all you see on video right now. And the kids don't realize, yo, a rapper's life isn't just parties every day.
It's an illusion to them.
Right, exactly.
A lot of our listeners... Sorry, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so I was just saying, hip-hop is a total experience of the individual. Not just one part of it that's going to make you a couple of dollars. Because, look, you could sell 10 million records, but if your stuff is completely negative, you just kill 10 million people. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
At the same time, if you make a record about a gun, because of hip-hop, that's the power that it has, as an artist, I don't care if this was your life, if you make a record about a gun because that's all you know, that's not a true statement because you know using guns is wrong. So as a rapper, if you make a record about a gun, you got to make a record about not using a gun. If you make a record about a bitch in a hole, you got to make a record about presentable, fine, hard-working women like your mother or your grandmother or your aunt. You know what I'm saying? If you make a record about drug use, you have to make a record about not using drugs because to tell you the truth, look, first of all, everybody don't go to strip clubs. Everybody's not a drug dealer. Everybody's not a pimp. And everybody's not a thug. You know, when I rapped, I'm DMC in a place to be, go to St. John's University. The kids in the hood who didn't even have an education thought that was the dopest thing I could ever say because they didn't want to sell drugs. They wanted to go to school. So when I said that, some of them dropped out the gang and went to school because they knew, man, I got to do what I got to do to be cool with hip-hop. But if I'm going to just tell them, drink champagne and go to parties all the time, that's what they want to do because they want to be down with hip-hop.
You know, it's like balance was always something, you know, you guys embodied as a group. And a lot of our listeners are asking us right now what the possibilities of Run DMC getting back together for a reunion would be.
Well, the first thing we always say, we can't do it without Jay. I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible, but it wouldn't look right without Jay back there. You know what I'm saying? Because people say, you know, because people say Run DMC. See, that's a good example. We wasn't just a musical group to people. People say, your guys were much more than just a rap group to us. You know what I'm saying? We were representatives of the culture that we've lived in. So if you see me run up there with another DJ back there, it's going to look kind of weird. Like, our joke is we can't replace our drummer. You know how bands can replace the guitar player and stuff like that? We can't replace our drummer.
No.
But I ain't going to say it's not impossible. You know, plus my manager said don't say that because maybe some rich billionaire will come and pay me a lot of money to get up on their stage.
You know, as somebody who's always recognized and understood Jay's position in Run DMC, I don't think,
right.
You know, another
Run
DMC. Run
DMC, even though he's Run DMC, Run DMC was three members. That's what people don't get. And, see, if that wasn't just because of us, you got to understand something. When you look at hip-hop today, people don't even talk about the DJ.
No.
You know what I'm saying? The DJ's indispensable. With all the current technology, most of the DJs for these rap groups today push buttons. Think about that. Just push the DAT machine or push the play on the computer thing, right? Jay never used any pre-recorded thing. He used a mix of turntables and wax our whole career. You know what I'm saying? So our stand was, okay, see now, why do you think there's only solo rappers? You know what I'm saying? Why do you think there's only a Jay-Z, a 50, and, and a Kanye. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't care about the art form and the DJ. The DJ is not even thought of. But there's no... I tell kids this. I say, look, you got all these great artists, these good artists out nowadays, and, you know, they call up, you know, they call themselves rappers. I say, listen, if you pay your money to go see a so-called hip-hop performance and there's no DJ, you need to ask for your money back because that's not real hip-hop. And they go, what do you mean? That's a rapper rapping, but that's not real hip-hop. Real hip-hop is with a DJ actually spinning while the MCs rhyme. Like, oh, our records wasn't just records. Our records was a hip-hop performance, every one of them. So
yeah,
when we say we can't do it without Jay, it's bigger than just saying Run-DMC can't do it without Jay. We can't do hip-hop without our DJ. You know what I'm saying? That's what, if you look at the monotony in hip-hop right now, and this is nothing against the producers, but the music business pays production deals to the same four and five producers. The same four and five producers go out and produce everybody that's out now. So why do you think all the music sound the same? You got this producer, he's producing Busta, he's producing Mary, he's producing Jay-Z, he's producing Lil Wayne. All the producers are producing everybody's music. All the rappers are rapping over the same producer's music. That's why it's monotonous. But hip-hop is supposed to be, it's Run DMC with Jay, we have our sound. It's LL Cool J with Cut Creator, they have their sound. It's Public Enemy with the Bomb Squad, they have their sound. It's Dr. Dre with NWA, everybody had their own sound. That's why it was all good. You know, nowadays it's like, okay, who sold the most records? Who got the most ringtones? That's the guy that's the hottest right now.
Yeah, you see, there's a phrase you use that wouldn't have been used there. Hot. You know, that's a phrase that gets thrown around in marketing now. The hottest artist on the streets. And you bet in 6 months' time, that so-called hottest artist, you won't even hear from them nowadays. But there was no such thing as that kind of passive hot. This mixtape's hot. There was no such thing.
Right, no, because all of us were hot.
Yeah.
Run DMC, Houdini, LL Cool, we all were the same. That's what I'm saying. It was all good. I said it was all good. We were all on the same level. Everybody was able to eat. That's why you was able to show and see Run DMC and the Beastie Boys and the LL and Public Enemy on the same show. Because we all were hot. You couldn't discriminate and say, but we all represented some facet of everybody's life. You know what I'm saying? That's why, remember when Wu-Tang first came out? Wu-Tang was the best thing to happen to hip-hop at that time. Because everything else was shiny suits and Bentleys and glitter. Remember when Wu-Tang came out? They just came out with seven MCs rapping and the crazy beats. It was the reason why Wu-Tang will go down in history as one of the greatest. Not just good. They didn't come and go. Wu-Tang is eternal now because of what they did. They came with a sound, they came with a flow, and they came with something that was so much better than just being a recording group.
Exactly.
That's what you're so cool to say. There was no, listen, even though Run DMC were the kings, Eric B. KRS-One, Run DMC, Public Enemy, Eric B. and Rakim, LL Cool J, the Beasties, even Will Smith, Jazzy Jeff, and the Fresh Prince, we all were on the same level of dopeness.
Exactly.
You just add, you know, you had your separate thing that made you different from everybody else. The thing that set us apart, like I said, was us rocking over rock music and our stage show.
That's true.
But look, when Public Enemy came with the Bomb Squad, you was like, oh, I mean, and it was like this, me and Chuck go back and forth. I mean, we would sit around and go, we would sit around and have to, among ourselves, we would have to say, yo, the Run DMC, y'all guys are the kings. We bow down to y'all. But then we would have to go, nah, Chuck, but that, yo, that Rebel Without a Pause, we would have to go, yo, Chuck, that shit is better than what we're doing right now. And then Chuck would have to go, nah, because, you know, that King of Rock shit is crazy. And then we all would have to go, nah, but you got to listen, man. You know who's killing us right now? You know who's killing us right now? We would go, who? We would go, your Big Daddy King, where ain't no half-stepping. Yo, right now, he's the best. You know what I'm saying? But we was all, you was able, everybody was able to coexist on the top of hip-hop. See, that's the problem with hip-hop. You know what's the matter with it? We done made these individual people the stars. We done made Jay-Z and Lil Wayne and Kanye and, you know, and Nas the star. But with us, it wasn't bad. You know who the star was? We always made sure hip-hop itself was the star.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ain't nobody, none of these guys are the greatest rapper of all time. I mean, people ask me, who do you think is the greatest rapper of all time? Pac or Big? I go Chuck D.
Yeah.
And the critical go, yeah. Well, unless I say Chuck D had this. He had the best noise, had the best music, he had the best flow, and he had the most powerful presentation delivery of all of us.
Mm.
Go, yeah, you know, Chuck was better than Pac and Big combined. And if you don't believe me, go listen to his flows. Like, you know, they try to rate MCs on their swagger. Chuck's content was so beyond worrying about, does he look cool? Who's he dating? His deliver, his intent with hip-hop was so powerful. You know what I'm saying? Yes, the rhythm, the rebel, without a pause, I'm lowering. He was so bad that he's like, when the rapper can't get his music played on TV, on, you know, he don't go on do interviews and he don't go on blogs complaining and hating on the game. He said, radio suckers never play me. On the mix, they dislocate me now, knowing it's on, 1 o'clock in the zone, or no one taking a stick with a brother on. He addressed the issues in his music. So for me, but that's what you're saying. So for me, there was no way to say who was dope because hip-hop was dope. Hip-hop is dope, not this guy is the best hip-hop artist of his time. No, he has what makes him good. So that's really what's missing right now. And you know why the reason that's missing? Because all the popular artists now, you can't sit there and debate who made the better record. You could only sit there and debate who sold more and who got the most ringtone. You cannot sit here, in the last, you know, since Pac and Big died, you cannot sit here and look at content and really decipher who's the best.
No, no, absolutely not. But of course, you've got the new album on its way. We're looking forward to it. I know you sent us some tracks earlier on in this year, and this is on its way, and you're working on that at the moment. You've got, of course, this nomination, this honour at the Rock Awards, the 2009 Awards. That's, so things are looking very blessed for you at the moment.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, for me, what it is, it's like, you know, when you hear these rappers go, you know, I think I'm going to retire when I get 30 years old. You don't hear Bruce Springsteen saying he's going to put his guitar down, right?
Mm.
You don't hear Eric Clapton saying, you know, I'm old now, I can't do rock and roll no more. See, people don't value hip-hop the way they should value it. That's the problem with it. They think it's some disposable music. They think it's just something that you do just to get rich and famous for a minute. No, it's about the whole step of your walk of your life, supplying the information. Like Chuck D said, hip-hop is the CNN. But if you look at hip-hop right now, they're not really giving up any information. Like, if you look at the current state of hip-hop, I'm talking about somebody who never knew about all the hip-hops that ever existed. If they was to come right now, that's why you got a lot of older folks. That's why you got a lot of older folks who always said, I don't like hip-hop. When they go turn the video channel, the radio on now, they go, see, this is why. But if they was to turn it on back in the day, they would hear somebody like a De La Soul and go, what's this? I thought all rappers were talking about strip clubs and killing each other and bang, bang, and bling, bling. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
That's what's missing right now. Ain't no artist today making albums and records that's going to change the world.
No, exactly.
So that's what I'm going to try to do. Like, you know, I could sit here for, like I tell people when I do my lectures, yo, I could probably sit here for 20 days and tell you everything that's wrong with hip-hop because hip-hop is so much that people ain't putting on their records, but instead of doing something about it, like my idea of a hip-hop album is an album that's informative, historical, controversial, and fun. So that's what I'm going to try to do with my new album. And, you know, I've been playing those early records I gave you were just like the teasers. So now I'm really getting to the substance of the album. I got to make the music that's going to make people stop what they're doing, listen to it, and go, yo, I like that. They could laugh, they could cry, they could complain, but you got to put all of that in. You got to get the total picture of what this hip-hop is about.
Yeah,
I'm just a rapper in the game. I got producers all over to me, but I need guys like you on the radio that's not even listening. We just did something so hip-hop. We didn't even have to turn on a beat. We just sat here and talked about ideas and concepts and visionary stuff. That's what hip-hop is about.
Exactly, yeah, that's right. And there was no middlemen that called you. We rang you personally. We emailed you personally, and we asked you if man to man if you have time to come on the show.
Yeah, that's another problem too. People tell me, the guys today, yo, it's crazy. You got to go through the management. You got to go through the label. And, you know, when you get to the managers, the thing that's so crazy about now, even the A&Rs think they stars.
Yeah.
That's a good record. I need to make that.
Yeah.
Even the A&Rs think they stars. Because they're the guys in the club buying up the bar, driving around in the fancy cars. And see, the A&Rs really don't go look for talent because they're just worried about their jobs at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? A&Rs is supposed to be like, yo, man, I went over to London and I seen this kid rapping in the hood. Look, if you sign him and it doesn't, if it doesn't sell a lot of records, so what? At least he got to be heard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's a business.
I'm making that record. I got to go write that tonight.
Oh, man, let us have that verse. That would be an absolute blessing. Listen, DMC, it's been an absolute pleasure, as per usual. We're gonna
always with y'all, for sure. Everything's smooth, and hopefully when I come over there, I got to come see y'all in person.
Yeah, we definitely look forward to that. That'd be great to be able to
sit down. Hopefully before the holidays I get over there.
Yeah, maybe we'll be able to spend 20 days, and we'll lay it all out on paper. And let's see
if we
can do that. All right, DMC, go and enjoy the rest of today, the special day, your anniversary, and we hope to be in touch very, very soon. And we'll have
a chat. Thank you, and just like y'all said to me, I say to y'all, keep doing what y'all doing, because y'all represent hip-hop, too.
Thank you very much. DMC.
Yeah. Prison. Yeah. Still on the ground. Still on the
Yo. Kneel down in prayer, nah, but I pretend to be. My ministry of L, glass of hot Hennessy. Genius in the hood, we master coke chemistry. President lovers, we get the dope from the embassy. Sit on the stoop, inhale and choke is the tendency. Judge gave a sentence, no repentance, fuck the penalty. Sit in a cage, full of rage, fallen man. Think with my 10-year-old mind, first all a grand. Family starving, trying to do all I can. Waiting for the mystery millions to just fall in hand. Open my palms, barely getting fresh air. Scrambling like my body alert. To getting fresh gear, sips from the brown bag, burning up your chest hair, cold and brisk, sign of somebody's death near, no light, last vision seen was the text flare, no night, morgues ain't filled with young blessed tears, music is good, vividly reflecting death fear, tombs talk, graveyards make you respect fear, blood on the stairway of heaven, keep the steps clear, electrocute me, put me in your next chair, bang two cops, waiting for the next pair, if I die, be another me next year,
next year, next year.
Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? Closest I get to heaven when I blaze the L. Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? I don't wanna spend another holy day in jail. Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? Closest I get to heaven when I blaze the L. Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? I don't wanna spend another holy day
in jail. I've been the author, terror, composer, death, my bestseller. Got a load on my chest, through the cobwebs in my cellar. The good fella, picked from the hood to be a failure. With black shoes, black suits and black umbrellas, no God to help us. The devil provided his angels and bloodstained shoes from trampling the bodies like wine press. God likeness, white divine dress, but makes itself drunk from the blood of the righteous. I write this like stone being caught by lightning. Clash of the titans, I fight against her and the fight queens. Snake bitten by Great Britain. New age system, Medusa is your ruler. She turns the city into cement jungles. I came from amongst you and your dumb schools, waiting for your city to crumble. I pity the humble, love the aggression, thug recession. Blood on my weapon and I hug it with affection.
Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? Closest I get to heaven when I blaze the L. Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? I don't wanna spend another holy day in jail. Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? Closest I get to heaven when I blaze the L. Ghetto Gabriel, can you save my shell? I don't wanna spend another holy day in jail.
Killer Priest, Chief Comanche. Thank you so much to DMC. Now, of course, it's all about Facebook. So simply type in Conspiracy Worldwide Radio. And add a Mr. Montana. And of course, Menace, all the pages, etc., etc. We'd love to hear from you.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Alright, we're about to bounce out of here. It's been another Three's the Magic Number. Peter's probably unblocking the toilet still, but we'll all be back together in a month's time. Hope you've enjoyed it. Get in contact, conspiracyworldwide@gmail.com. Any radio stations, radio people, etc., etc., reach out. Any last shout-outs, Menace?
Not really, man. Just thanks for everybody, you know, thanks for everybody for listening.
All right, cool, cool. Just enough. Always loved this vocal. Never found it to be cheesy. Shout out to Ice-T. Big Tracy. All right, down everybody. Don't need to shout you out. You know you are. Everybody involved with this show. RosenbergRadio.com and of course conspiracyblog.net. Alright, peace people, we're out of here. We're off to do some sharking now. Bit of Fergal sharking in and around the Bawtree region. If you're gonna be around tonight, then join us. We're gonna be sharking. We may be sharking you. We're out of here. Peace. Gone.